space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, go over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. Woohoo! Lots of room. So anyway, in basic words, if you come against the machine, they will destroy you and if need be, kill you as well. Energy is free and everyone who proves it gets whacked. If they were all wrong, they would have been alive today and proven to be so, but they are not wrong, therefore they have been erased. Yeah. Well, see, that's pretty much what I believe has been going on. I mean, if you go back and you look at all the different inventors, because they didn't have the backing of the mainstream science, and because they thought outside the box, well, they took a lot of ridicule. And I know this. I know this firsthand because I catch it all the time. All the time. Anyway, energy is not created. It's tapped into. The laws of thermodynamics equals slavery and a lie. We are in a sea of energy. I posted some videos over there about Joseph Newman and the work that he was doing on his machine. Here's a man that took every bit of knowledge that he was able to gather, physics-wise, science, and electricity, and be able to do something pretty impressive. Now, at some points, he measured that he was getting out 800% more power than he was actually putting into his machine. As crazy as it sounds, if you go back and you look at some of the mainstream news back in the day, they actually had him on the news. They actually had him there, and they was talking to him about it and all that, and he was all excited about it. But the more as time went by, not only did the government, but the doggone patent office, and now even Wikipedia. I can't stand Wikipedia. Sometimes I look into the articles to see what they say, but you got to take Wikipedia with a grain of salt because there's an agenda behind that place, that's for sure. Anyway, Joseph Newman and all these other brilliant minds like Stan Myers and John Bedini and other researchers out there have been literally put through the ringer. See, Joseph Newman started off back in 1965, according to the story on his research. And he did some really brilliant work. He used concepts of stored energy, turning mass into power. And so there's nothing wrong with what he was doing scientifically. But yet there are people out there who basically tried to make it sound like this guy was a crook and he's trying to steal from people. He had many court cases over patents that he was trying to get, and the patent office kept blocking him every time he turned around. And so, you know, it's just disgusting. When you look out there and you see what's going on in this world, it's just disgusting. There's a lot of brilliant minds that, you know, maybe they don't have the college degree that other people have, or maybe they don't even use the same high-tech terminology. But what they do have is a mechanical understanding of how things work, and they test it. They try it. They try to see how far that they can push the limits. They try to see what is possible. Mainstream science pretty much goes in this little book, and they think that that book is essentially the gospel. Which is ironic that I'd even say that, because most people want to reject any kind of higher power, such as a God or a creator, but yet they will believe science as if it is, you know, the ultimate truth. So, want to also give a shout out to People for People Radio out there. We're going to be broadcasting over there with them as well. And so I posted a link down in the bottom underneath the chat rooms, People to People link, if you want to go over there and check out their site and say hi to them and that stuff. But anyway, I just want to thank them for wanting Mad Science Show on their network. It's pretty cool. Anyway, back to brilliant people. There are many, many, many brilliant people out there. They say that the mind is a terrible thing to waste, but yet it happens every day, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, all year long. Brilliant minds going to waste. And it just drives me insane. See, I've been messing around with science since I was 9 years old at least. Since I was a kid, I've been studying things and watching and observing and testing and, you know, taking things apart and putting them back together to see what made them tick, that kind of stuff. So I've always had a thirst for knowledge when it comes to that. And so along the line of my life, people started saying that we were having oil crisis and that we were having environmental issues and we needed to fix this and we need to fix that. And so I figured, well, you know, I could do my part. I could jump out there and use my mechanical knowledge and my mind to find problems to, you know, the so-called energy crisis of the world. And so I set off on a mission to do just that. And then the electrical company, did my family wrong, and so I figured, well, okay, now I'll just speed it up a little bit more. Anyway, it's been a long, hard road down this alternative energy research. But fortunately for me, I'm still alive. There was a lot of people out there who had a lot of good ideas, a lot of big dreams about, you know, making it so that the world would never have to fight over energy and oil and resources. Tesla was one of them. Stan Myers, John Bedini, Joseph Newman, all of these brilliant individuals, they're no longer here with us. Which is a shame, because that would be the equivalence of the dream team. If you could just get all these brilliant minds together, it's what I've been saying for a long time. If you could just get them together. Get them in a shop and give them everything that they need, the tools and materials to build and research and design. If you could just get them together. It seems that this world isn't going to allow energy to be free, even though it is free. And it's frustrating, because even the ones that basically would call themselves slaves, yeah, we're a slave to the system, the government's all corrupt and everything. Well, some of those ones are the ones fighting hardest to keep the government boot over the throats of the people. And I can't tell you how many times somebody has tried to argue the laws of thermodynamics with me. I can't even begin to say, and especially not on radio, how many things that I've been called. Now, you know, you think that you go out and you try to help the world, and the world might show you a bit of gratitude. That's not going to happen. Not in this day and age. People are so dumbed down into believing that if you ain't got the white lab coat and the doggone piece of paper that says that you were indoctrinated at college, and you ain't got this degree, and you're not a professor, well, then you're not smart. You're not brilliant. But after talking to so many different college-educated people and trying to show them that things weren't as hard as what they tried to say they were, I realize that these people ain't as smart as they think they are. They're not nowhere near as brilliant as they think they are. And chances are, if they had never have gone to college, they might have been more brilliant. But the education system of this world, minus a few nations that actually really believe in finding the truth about things, for the most part, the education system of this world has failed miserably. There's people that believe in things that science says, just basic science, just blows away. It's not, you know, the scientific method, you observe something, and you find that it's repeatable, and you test it, and test it, and retest it, and you can do this over and over again, and so you got a pretty good understanding how something functions. the modern day scientific observation's gone. It's all theory. And if you can't make it up on this side, well, you just throw the word quantum physics in there, which sounds really brilliant, and then you can turn around and make up anything you want. Because according to quantum theory, everything's possible. Anything's possible. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's a whole lot more possible in this world than meets the eye. But you don't have to make stuff up in order to make it right. The fact is, we don't really have a perfect understanding of what energy really is. And everything out there, everything from gravity to space and beyond, is all theoretical. All that stuff is theoretical. So anybody that comes after and says, well, yeah, I got it all solved, I'm the most brilliant man on the planet, and I got it figured out, well, they're not being completely honest with you. They might have a lot of stuff figured out. They might have an understanding of some specific subject that gives them a general idea of what's going on. But as far as the inner workings of creation itself, there ain't no man alive that smart. There ain't no man alive that brilliant. So that's why I keep trying to tell everybody, it's the pieces of the puzzle, folks. You and me together are two pieces of the puzzle. You and me together with the rest of the world are almost 9 billion pieces of the puzzle. And if we put those pieces together, we can learn so much. We should be so much further advanced than what we are right now, but we can't even feed people. We can't even put homes over people's heads. We can't put clothes on their back and keep them warm or cool when they need to be. We can't even cure the sick. In reality, we could. We could do all that and more. But the system out there wants to keep people enslaved. And the people out there who believe themselves to be really educated, they're the worst ones of all. You know, they're like the one in there sucking up to the master, the slave master, in order to have a little bit of power and notoriety. And then they'll go around and abuse the rest of the prisoners. Even though they're a prisoner themselves, they're still abusing the rest of the prisoners. And it's crazy. It's just crazy. Because if you was lied to once by the so-called master or the elite of the world or the supposed representatives, if you were lied to once, you should be questioning everything that they say from that point on. You know, truth is only subject to the honesty of the teller. And, you know, respect is earned. You lose my respect when you lie. And you tell me a bold-faced lie, you teach me something in school, and then you turn around and I ask you a question about something that just doesn't jive with what you just told me. And you either get angry or you lie some more. You know, mad science is a whole lot more than meets the eye. You know, I started the Mad Science Show because science makes me mad. There's even a religion out there called Scientology, which pretty much I believe is actually taking over the real science community. I don't believe there is any real science community anymore. Outside of mad science. And mad science is questioning everything. Because if the story doesn't jive, then you want to actually have the truth, you want to know how things work, then you got to get out there and you got to research it. You got to check for yourself. And so that's what I've been doing. And in my research, I found things that with electricity that basically seem to violate the so-called laws of physics and conservation of energy and thermodynamics and so on. I honestly believe that I have the answer to prove once and for all that energy is free, and being able to use things that you can buy right off the store shelf. See, it's not that we don't have enough energy. It's that we're not using the energy that we do have properly. You know, energy doesn't like to be resisted. When you slap that pull and you make that wave, it doesn't like to be resisted. And it will go around anything that gets in its way. So, energy will try to find the least path of resistance, wherever it goes. And if you understand this, and if you understand how things actually function, then you can begin to start guiding energy where you want it to go and getting the work done that you want it to do. If something's getting hot, that's because it basically you're putting too much power in. It's backing up. There's things that are going on in there. They call it eddy currents. Well, if you look out at any big major body of water that has a lot of water dumping into it, it's chaotic right there where that water is going in. You see little whirlpools in all different directions. It's all this energy is being forced down into what would have normally been a calm body of water. And if you sit there and watch how that energy travels, you'll get a general idea exactly how electricity, what we call electricity, is traveling. Magnetic fields and so on. Those little whirlpools that you see in the water are like the little whirlpools of the magnetic flux being spun around, and they ain't got nowhere to go, and so they're actually generating friction, which in turn is generating heat and causing things to get hot. I did an experiment yesterday using the circuit that I've been talking to everybody about. I actually posted a video about this specific circuit, actually two videos on it, called Coil Driver, I believe. I'll have to jump over on YouTube and take a peek to see what that actual name was. Getting senile in my old age, I guess. But, doggone it. I always push the wrong doggone button. Alright, so I'm trying to move my finger on the mouse and talk at the same time. And alright. Yeah, so there's a Coil Driver 1 and a Coil Driver 2 video. This little circuit's pretty impressive so far, and I'm doing some pretty amazing things with it. Anyway, I'm doing this experiment, and I am pulsing a custom coil that I made out, a custom transformer that I made out of two stators out of electric start lawnmowers. Underneath the flywheel of a lawnmower that has a starter on it, there's this thing called a stator. And it's got specific windings so that whenever this flywheel is spinning around, it's got magnets inside it, and it pulses this coil, which charges your battery up while you're driving, while you're mowing your lawn. Anyway, I took two of these particular stators, and I made a custom transformer to run some tests on. The initial test didn't work out so well, but then when I realized that I needed to run this the wiring a little bit different, or run it in series as opposed to the parallel that I was attempting to do, I got an amazing result. I actually got DC current out of what should have been an AC current output. And so I'll have to do a video and explain that to everybody, but it's pretty unique. But either way, what ended up happening was I ended up having enough output on this thing. I started with an input of 12 volts, and I ended up with an input output of about 16 to 17 volts with some current. And so I was able to actually run a electric motor. So then I'm trying to run in series with that electric motor, other electric motors. So I was able to run two electric motors, not at full speed, but nonetheless still be able to run two electric motors. And I noticed that the one was a little weaker than the other, and so it got me to thinking about resistance and how energy actually travels. So then I put in the line with a with the electric motor in series. I put a tungsten element light bulb. The AC version would not work. The DC version did work. But I also noticed that while this thing was actually running, that it was moving the heat from part of the transformer core that I built into the light bulb, and that the motor was still running, not at full speed, but it was still running. So I changed from a different type of light bulb down there, and I got an even better result, because now there was just enough current flow through there to light that light bulb up, but it didn't slow the current flow down to the motor, and the motor still ran. So I was able to actually generate some heat, and in the process of doing this, what normally would have taken me about, I don't know, the voltmeter, while it was under load running the electric motor, it was showing only 5 volts left over from the 17 that was the output, 16 or 17. And so when I connected this light bulb in series with this, the motor still ran and the voltage went up to 15 volts left over from running the motor. And the longer the bulb was in series with this, the hotter the bulb became. And so I knew that I was generating heat, and I was able to still be able to run the electric motor at the same time. Maybe a lot of that doesn't make sense right at the moment, but it will whenever I do the videos on it. On the last two videos that I put up there, question and question two, I showed running an electric motor off of 2 negative poles of 2 separate batteries that were not connected directly to each other, but through a circuit that designed by John Bedini. There's something going on in this circuit that's pretty impressive. So keep your eye on that YouTube channel, because the more discoveries I find utilizing this circuit, and the more discoveries I find using that other circuit, the more videos I'm going to be putting out about it and explaining people in the simplest possible form of what I believe is actually occurring here. The things that I have seen with electricity while testing all these different anomalies and circuitry and equipment and coil systems, it gives me a really good understanding of exactly how to build the perfect transformers that will give you the most amount of efficiency. Now see, if this world out there doesn't want to give the world free energy, if the system wants to fight really hard against the whole thing and doesn't want to allow people to have free energy, then at the very least we should go for efficiency. I believe that if done properly, free energy is going to go right underneath their nose and be here before they even know what hits them. There's been a lot of researchers out there, a lot of brilliant researchers, but the problem they all had was they tried to patent their ideas. They tried to protect their ideas, which you can't seem to blame them, because You know, everybody would like to get wealthy enough to be able to do research and have their own funding and be able to get credit for what they've done. But every time you step in that system with anything that is contrary to what that system wants, then you meet with terrible resistance and sometimes even death. You know, folks call it a conspiracy theory. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory. He just died of a heart attack. Well, that guy died of a heart attack over there. But on the way out, he said somebody poisoned him. And that guy over there, he died of a broken heart. And that guy over there, he died of lead poisoning. You know, and this is ridiculous because there are so many brilliant minds out there who have, gone by the wayside because they tried to bring to the world free energy. The argument's over. I'm never, ever, ever going to argue with anybody about free energy again. I'm going to let them believe what they want to believe. I tell them the science if they don't want to research the science or test the theories or whatever, then you're not going to get any help from them. I've had people call me things that just, I hope they don't kiss their mother with that same mouth. But, you know, it's ridiculous. And you get somebody who wants to argue with you about thermodynamics when they absolutely have no understanding of what thermodynamics is all about. And they want to holler about perpetual motion or over unity or zero point energy or whatever. They just don't get it. And they never will get it as long as they got their nose glued to the school book. That's it. You know, sure, read the school book, see what the school book says, test everything that the book says, find out the truth by making honest observations and share that freely with the world. That's how advancements happen. And NASA's supposed to have all these really cool technologies. And they got the money to back them up. They got 50 some odd million dollars a day funding from the U.S. government and then some. Plus they got own patents on things and they get money from all different directions. And they wanted to talk to Joseph Newman. They didn't even argue with him that what he was saying was true. And all the people that tried to disprove him, they couldn't. And so after they couldn't disprove him, then it was a personal attack. Oh, now he's crook. Now he's a charlatan. Now he's this. Now he's that. If you go read that Wikipedia article that I posted the link in the chat room, it's sickening. It's sickening. I posted in there a sickening article from the sellouts of Wikipedia. And that's what Wikipedia is all about. It's a sellout. So if you don't say what they want you to say on there, and if other members don't like what you wrote on there, they will come in and edit what you wrote, or they will delete your post. So Wikipedia, which is supposed to be a combined encyclopedia, so to speak, of a bunch of people that gather up research and come in there and write these articles about different subjects, they have a massive bias against anything that they don't like, and they will basically delete your post or rewrite it, or if it looks fairly decent and most of it's fairly plausible, they'll put a little label up at the top saying something about, well, you know, this is what a lot of people are saying, but I wouldn't trust this article because nothing could be verified and such. Wikipedia, in my view, is trash. It's trash. If you find a little bit of treasure in the trash, that's good, but it's still, nonetheless, overall, Wikipedia is trash. And what they said in there about, Joseph Newman and stuff, they put this man on TV. He went through several court cases trying to get the patent office to give him a doggone patent on something that he designed. And either because of the name of it or because he's claiming he's getting more power out than he put in, even though people measuring it said, yeah, he's getting more power. We don't understand it, but yeah, this is what's happening. And then, you know, through all of his efforts through the deal, he ends up dying. Of course, you know, most of them will say he died of old age and a heart attack or whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, because the same thing, John Bedini and his brother, Stan Myers, and so on. There's so many other researchers out there that could be listed off. They fight like heck to try to get something on the market. They've been trying to, help the country become sustainable and give the world free energy, you know, or at least, the very least, a clean, renewable, alternative green energy efficiency. And throughout the entire deal, the ones fighting most against it are the ones who said that we needed it to begin with. And when the people out there basically sit there and support the same system that has been enslaving them forever and a day, and they go out there and they troll alternative energy researchers, oh, you got a battery in there, you got hidden wires, you got this, you got that, you can, it don't matter what you show them, they're not going to believe it. They'll believe we went clear across the universe with a probe over all the way to Pluto and took a picture of it. Ironically enough, when they take a picture of it, it looks like Pluto's actually on the planet. He got there first. But nonetheless, they did all that. And energy's not free. This craft supposedly stayed in space for over 9 years, and by the time it was able to get to the other end to take the picture, it was still producing over 200 watts of power and sent the picture all the way back through space. I mean, a long ways, according to what we were told. Rovers on Mars, rolling around taking pictures of jelly donuts and such. And we got that technology, but we can't build efficient things for the marketplace. I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it because it's not scientifically plausible. Science is science, or science is nothing. And if it's nothing, then nobody knows anything about nothing. It's ridiculous. It's just flat out ridiculous. It makes absolutely no sense. Scientific observation is you try it before you deny it, and if it's repeatable time and time again, and you take measurements with the things that we got and all that, and you can show your findings, then you should be able to write a paper and get it published or whatever. Oh no. You ain't getting nothing on the books unless they want it on the books. That's facts. That's Wikipedia. If they don't want it on their books, it ain't going at all. No ifs, ands, or buts. You know, there's this thing out there called Ebonics, where pretty much people can make up their own words and language, and sounds like a bunch of babbling buffoonery as opposed to the English language, which, regardless of whatever you think of the English language, this babbling and turning and twisting the language, it actually makes it on the books. It does. Google it up. Check it up. You know, a lot of these trends, people, you know, talking like they ain't got no education or whatever, that language actually makes it on the books. But if you come with a perfectly spelled and grammared educational piece and and you test the theory of anything, you ain't getting on the books. It ain't happening. If it goes against the grain, it ain't happening. Especially on Wikipedia. But I put the articles out there anyway, so you just go, if you want, go read it about Joseph Newman. Posted some videos of his demonstrations of the machine that he was doing. Russ over at RWG Research, he's doing a replica and testing it. And here's the thing, folks. I don't even care if the majority of these doggone alternative energy deals aren't getting out more than they're putting in, as long as it's showing that the efficiency is so much higher and that there are other anomalies occurring there that could be capitalized on in order to raise the efficiency up yet even further. Now, I know for a fact that voltage, if I'm putting 12 volts in the system and I'm getting 17 out and some current while I'm at it, I'm getting out more energy than I put in. No ifs, ands, or buts. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I know that with certain types of transformers that you can change that energy to wherever you want it to go and to whatever waveform you want it to. I ran not one, but seven microwave oven transformers and a large transformer and a modified transformer with one little circuit, and not one time did the transistors inside that circuit get hot. And I'm running them all at the same time in parallel with each other. Because what I realize is energy does not like resistance. It don't like it. That's why it generates heat. When it finds resistance, it gets hot. The energy's trying to move along. It's trying to balance itself out. It's going down a path. And suddenly it gets backed up and all these angry little electron people are in there and they're getting crowded and they're getting mad at each other and they start to fight. Well, there's a lot of friction going on, a lot of heat generated, and so you need that. You need to give that energy a place to go. So the larger the surface area for you to dump that energy into, the better. Now you could take as many transformers as you want, and you could run them in parallel. And when you pulse the first one, it's going to expand the magnetic field in that first one. And when that magnetic field collapses, the back EMF is going to go right up into the second one, expand that field, and collapse, and then do the same thing to the next one in line. But meanwhile, while this is all occurring, you still have energy coming in feeding all of the coils at the same exact time. And so just like stacking dominoes, the more dominoes you put into play, you push the first domino and they all tip all the way down there. And if you had a way to stand them back up and flip them back the other direction and do that over and over again, that's what is happening with that energy. So if I can run seven transformers with one little 12-volt circuit and the transistors aren't even getting hot, then just maybe I might be on to something about we're not using energy properly. We're not using it efficiently. If it's generating heat, then you're doing it wrong. That's as simple as that. And I had an anomaly that occurred that I won't mention at this moment, but if I can repeat it, and I can repeat it on video, it's going to blow you away, because it blew me away. It means that there's something else going on in the actual energy that we call heat, storing pressure inside of it. And so whenever I got this particular deal hot, and by running current through it, and then I released one of the legs, which should have shut the motor off. Instead, I got a back spike of electricity from an unknown source. So if I can repeat that, I will do it again, and I'll do it on video. But all of this is about taking every bit of everything that I've researched throughout my entire life, and all these different anomalies, all these different types of devices, and putting them on the table. We got this 500 piece puzzle sitting on the table, and I can put it together by myself. It's going to take me a little bit longer, because I got to be able to step back once in a while and look at the big picture and see where this next piece goes. But if there are other brilliant individuals out there that can be a second or a third or a fourth pair of eyes and so on, then there ain't nothing stopping us. We could get this done in short order. There's so many devices out there that even if, hypothetically, even if they did not work exactly the way the inventor created it, they were so efficient, and they had anomalies that one little tiny change, an outside source. And like I said, I don't care if I have to add a tiny solar panel to any system so that it's picking up ambient light or light from the sun. If that one little tiny solar panel is enough to kick that over the edge and make the thing work, what's wrong with that? See, perpetual motion and over unity and zero point and all this kind of stuff, but they made the laws of thermodynamics to try to say that a closed loop system will not work. Basically just a way to say that perpetual motion is not possible. And the patent office will fight you at every single turn if you even come close to saying it's perpetual motion. So with that said, somebody tell Barry we're live. I better push the button and see if I can hear myself. Yep,
we're broadcasting. Like I said, I don't care.
Anyway, so, doggone it. So, basically, even if you had to add an outside power source, something to supplement it, you know, if you got a system at your home and you're using wind power, and you're using solar power, and you're using thermoelectrics, and so on and so forth, then you're doing it right. And if your equipment is getting too hot, then you're doing it wrong. That's the simple of it. So basically, I'm getting distracted by a conversation going on in the Knights round table there. I'll see if anybody wants to join. If you're listening in and you want to join in on the radio show, throw a thumb up or down in there or whatever, and Skype. But energy is free, so I'm not going to argue with anybody over anymore. Not even going to try. I just point out all the realities of everything. When's the last time you got a bill from the sun? When's the last time you got a bill from the wind? When's the last time you got a bill from the water? From the earth? There's four separate massive sources of power. And nobody's ever been billed for it. Now, when the middleman puts his hydroelectric dam between you and the water and produces electricity, then you get billed for it. Huh. Imagine that. And so those folks out there running the massive wind farms, when the middleman builds a massive wind farm and produces Joe Schmo's electric company, and his windmills are producing your electricity, and you now pay for the wind. Big old solar farms. When Joe Schmo invested in the solar farms and his electricity is coming to your house and he's the middleman, you get paid, you're now paying for the sunlight. And so on. So, all these people that decided that they were going to use mechanics and physics and real science to basically, you know, show people how to, at the very least, be more energy efficient and be able to produce enough energy to provide for the entire world. Well, they get ridiculed, they get rubbed out, they get ripped off. The system out there basically hides their efforts or demonizes them to the extent where people have now been filled in their minds with doubt. And so if you doubt something, then chances are you'll never believe in it enough to take it to wherever you could have gone with it. Like I said, mad science is about so much more than meets the eye. It's about taking a look at all the mainstream media out there, how they lie and manipulate and propagandize and basically steal from the people. They'll sell it to you. I go down my list and I can see a lot of good ideas that I shared with people. I got on my YouTube channel 273 videos. And out of all those 273 videos, some of them got seen and some of them really haven't been seen, anywhere from as low as a few views up to as high as like my redneck wind turbine. That one got pretty high because for some reason redneck sounds cool and people like to watch redneck stuff. Where then, if you go down and scroll on the comment section on the redneck deal, you'll hear all kinds of criticism. All kinds of it. People out there who don't even make videos telling you how stupid you are. That it don't work. So, when people look at a video, and I'm talking about how I'm tired of being poorly treated, I'm not just talking about one video. I'm not just talking about my last video. I'm talking about any one of the 273 videos that I posted out there for free to YouTube to share with the world ideas and get minds to working together. And I swear there are some people who subscribe to me for no other purpose than to cuss me out and thumb my video down. And I've lost a lot of friends. I've lost a lot of friends because they believed themselves to be so right and me to be so wrong that they weren't tolerant of my ideas. And so I wasn't a worthy friend anymore because I wouldn't do as they wanted to. And that's a shame. Because some of my friends that I had, I love all my friends. They're all valuable to me. Every single one of them. Even if I don't agree with what they got to say, they're all valuable with me. And so, you know, if I lose friends because I'm trying to share something in science, I have to ask myself, were they really a friend to begin with? Or were they just put into place just to try to disrupt the system, disrupt my research, and and lack my credibility or turn my credibility upside down so nobody believes anything I have to say. Well, at this point in the game, because of what happened to Joseph and Bedini and Stan Myers, I'm glad that they don't believe what I have to say. Now, maybe it'll mean that I'll probably live a little bit longer. I won't die of lead poisoning or a heart attack or whatever. So, I'm going to keep sharing my stuff with people. And it, like I said in the video, I don't even care about the thumbs down outside the fact that if you're going to thumb something down, at least say, you know, hey, I didn't like the video because it's poor quality. You know, you need a cameraman or, you know, I just think you're wrong. And so I'm thumbing you down because I don't, this is why I disagree or whatever. No, they just, bam, they hate it. Sometimes people don't even watch the video. They'll just read the doggone title, thumb you down and leave. Well, It to me don't make me no never mind. But to somebody else who comes in there and they start seeing that there are people criticizing the work, and then they start misquoting the laws of physics to them, and then these people who maybe not sure about all of this, they'll look at the one talking about the laws of physics and, you know, jump on that bandwagon. Oh no, yeah, this is a hoax. You got batteries stashed in there, whatever. And because of all the charlatans prior that wanted to get out there and make a name or some money for themselves and rip people off, well, it makes it even harder on those that are doing honest research as far as alternative energy. So, this is why mad science to me is so important. Mad science is questioning the book, literally. You know, there are people that will say, well, you know, the Bible ain't true and this and that, whatever. Okay, it was written by man, I understand that, but so was your science book. So was everything else out there. All the information that we got was either written or passed over by man. And so if my book is no good because a man wrote it, then what's that any different than what the book that you're reading? So we're all basically going on theory and faith no matter what we look at. But when you see something and it's true observation using the scientific method and there's a question proposed there, how's this functioning, then you would think that people would want to research to find out why, because if this is true, what I say, and energy's traveling different than what it was before, this is groundbreaking. This is something that would literally free the world from under the slavery of the energy companies and the corporations as far as that goes. But if the average Joe ever wants to be free, you're going to have to start protecting your brilliant minds of this world. Am I saying I want you guys to come over and be my bodyguard? No, not unless you want to come in and hang out and we do science together. That'd be cool. But I'm saying that if you find people like Joseph Newman, different John Bedini and Stan Myers, and they're showing you something, and it's working right before your very eyes, and everything matches the science that you were taught and so on, well, then maybe you might want to watch their back, because the governments of this world and the energy cartels, they don't want this information to be in the hands of the people, plain and simple. And if you're the average Joe and you're fighting against it and not trying to research it to find out what is real and what isn't, you might as well just jump over there with the government and hang out with them, because you're doing the same job that they are. That's why I call it mad science. That's why I get aggravated. Don't tell me we went millions of miles through space for 9 years, take a picture of a planet that's so far away, if you look back at the sun, it's just a little tiny dot in the sky and wouldn't even light up a 2-watt Christmas light bulb. But you was able to, with thermoelectrics, produce over 200 watts of power, take a picture of this supposed planet or rock out there, and send it all the way back through space, through all the radiation in the Van Allen radiation belt, pick this up, digitize it, put it out there on the NASA website, and tell everybody, look here, we went to Pluto. All right, well, if you got that technology, why is that little kid still in the dark over there? Why has that kid not got a refrigerator to put some good food and fresh water in and such? That's the disgusting part of humanity. We supposedly have this technology, and yet you're still paying an astronomical light bill. Now, my light bill this month was $450. That sounds like cheap to some people, because I had a friend in Australia who said his was $1,200 and some odd. Now, if we have the capability because of the things that Joseph Newman showed, and that Bedini was showing, and that things, the anomalies that I've been pointing out to everybody, all the different technologies tested and such, if we have the opportunity to even give somebody a fraction of a chance of becoming amazingly efficient so that they could afford a doggone light bill, imagine what I could do with an extra $450 a month instead of having to pay it to the man. That's what I'm saying, folks. So with that said, we've been joined by Barbara. How you doing, lady?
Oh, my, things are going wackadoodle, I have to tell you.
I'm on a roll. Tell me about yours, though.
Well, you know, I was like, I was struggling with my computer the last couple of days because it went kablooey on me. Weird things were happening, and I had a friend on Skype put me through, we went through unbelievable rabbit holes to get the page back. You know, my I have Google Chrome and I have Firefox. Well, Google Chrome, when I pulled it up, it came over on the on my desktop, way over on the side, unless it disappeared except for this tiny little part of it in the corner, right? It wouldn't come up. We did everything. Anyway, so that created all kinds of wackadoodle stuff. When we went finally through it, we found somebody else online who had the same problem. Google Chrome seems to disappear on people and leaves the page. So anyway, doing all that, went through all that, now nothing is normal. After we rectified that problem, any of the files that I saved on my, on my computer, they won't pull up. I'm denied it. That's a problem. But anyway, let's go to the energy thing. Hold on a sec.
Yeah, but before you go there, I had a issue yesterday with one of my computers that's running Windows 10, and I'm telling you, listen to what you're saying, listen to what I'm saying. I don't think this is by accident, because after that update, everything on that computer gave me trouble. Everything.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's by accident either. We've been dealing with this for a couple of years. You, me, Patty, trying to get the shows being interrupted, taken down, various woo-woo stuff going on. So, no, I don't think it's by accident. I think that all this is has a reason, a meaning, you know, just to shut people down or to control. Well, we know everything is now, you know, we're being spied on and controlled. They're listening to our chats. They're any word, particular word, creates an alarm on their system, and then they go check us out and shut us down and all that stuff. That's what we're dealing with today. But today we're dealing with bigger things that people have no clue about what's going on. And I have a feeling people are saying the, you know, bloop bleep is going to hit the fan. We've been saying this for quite a while now. We're all feeling something, and all signs are, you know, coming out that big stuff is happening, not only here in the United States, but, you know, there's something really going on, folks, and it's bigger than we could ever imagine. You know, with Hillary Clinton wearing boots and McCain wearing boots and other politicians wearing boots, and politicians now saying, well, they're retiring suddenly, and then you have these the FISA situation with these documents coming out. You have, you know, on and on and on. It's been quite amazing to see what's happening. But I just want to say, get to energy thing here. You know, you're talking about the energy, free energy. You know, free energy has always existed. We know that. We talk about that a lot, and people go, yeah. And then you say, well, how come we don't have free energy? Like you just said, how come that child over there, But you know, the ancient people had the ability of free energy, and they left us many messages and many signs for these things. You know, there's like these magnetron shapes, which are sound energy generating devices. They are really stone formations. They're ringing stones. I sent you a couple of videos on this stuff. I don't know if you had a chance.
No, I didn't have a chance, but I will.
And I have to say, I've been looking at this information that has been coming through, and this these people are right on. And I had this information given me years ago about the sacred sites, like the monolithic stone formations throughout the whole of the world and the grid, and how they connect. And it's about frequency and energy. And this guy's talking about the same thing. They found these magnetron shapes in Africa. There's like, I don't know, 40 million of them, something like 30 to 40 million of them. You can see them from Google Earth. Now they know what they're looking for. And they're formations on the Earth made with certain stones. They're what we call sacred geometry, the way they're set up on the Earth. And these are very, very ancient. And he's saying that 40 meters in diameter, some of these are set, creates more energy than all the power plants in the world. And this was ancient technology. And he also says something very dear to my heart. This guy's come up with this, and I was going to write on, because my information that came to me when I was a child, you know, as I get downloaded stuff from the ethers or from spirit or from guidance, was that these megalithic, monolithic stones, that the weight is beyond our imagination, and they're all sitting so pretty up on lintel. The lintels are sitting near the pyramids. All these megalithic stones were lifted up and put in place through frequency, you know. And this guy is saying this, and I'm going, he's so right on. Because we've known this. The ancients knew this, you know, but this has been kept from us. There is free energy, you know. Everywhere there's free energy. Water has energy. The frequency, sound is energy. Even our vibration of our voices and ourselves, we are energy. So I'm just looking at this stuff, and I'm like saying, yeah, check out Adam's calendar. You know, Google Adam's calendar, right? That's a place for you that will blow your mind. Again, in Africa, the African people, Mutwa, one of them, the elders there, spoke about the energies, the frequencies. The Lakota people, my elder, my teacher, said we used to levitate stones in the long ago, blowing the eagle bone whistle. And on and on and on. So I just wanted to throw that out to you, that we've been lied to from the beginning, not only on about human history and our origins, but about energy, that the Earth herself is a frequency.
Well, I'll tell right? you, there's a guy in Missouri, doggone Sedalia, I believe, called Bosworth Castle. And this guy was, I guess, a doctor, and he built this castle on a hill that had a cave underneath it. And so, basically, what he did was he made a ventilation system that went all the way from the roof of that cave all the way up to the roof of the castle. And then allowed, as the wind is blowing through the cave, it forces air pressure up to the roof of the house, and then right. that cool air falls back down, and this entire castle is air conditioned without paying one penny for electricity.
Right. Well, here's another one for you. You know, the crystal cavern found in the earth, right?
Yep.
Do you ever see that video? It will blow your mind. There's that word again, blow your mind. This cavern they discovered has monolithic crystals in it. And you wonder why the Earth was created with this way, right? We know the power that crystals have. They create energy. They're in our computers. They're in the cell phones, all that, right?
Yeah.
So the whole of the Earth has this ability, this frequency to generate energy. I mean, that's nature. Right.
Yeah.
But that's all been hidden from us. You know, so Did you see the video I sent you about the guy who built this these structures, these monolithic structures using coral?
Yeah, Coral Castle. Yeah.
Coral Castle, right?
Ed Lieb Scanlon. But on the crystal portion of it, the chemistry and the science of this Earth is mind-blowing. The temperature underneath the Earth's crust, it generates a lot of heat. And when you understand how thermoelectrics works, the difference in different types of metal, iron and nickel and so on, and silver and gold, those are all conductive, and those, when they're close to each other, when they're heated up, will produce a thermoelectric charge. The piezoelectric charge actually comes from, like, seismic activity on the Earth. When crystals are being flexed, they release an electrical charge. And not only that is, if you know the chemistry, you can literally ring the bell of the Earth. Crazy as that sounds, if I take and pulse an energy wave down into a water table, and that energy wave travels through and comes in contact with a cave that has quartz or piezoelectrics, I can literally turn that cave into the equivalence of a bass cannon, a speaker.
Of a power generator.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you just said, well, it may sound crazy, but I have to tell you, to the majority of people, it sounds crazy because that's what they've been told.
Yep.
That's the problem, you see. That's the lies we've been told, so you're the wackadoodle here, not them. But, you know, so let's look at creation. So the more we're finding out, we realize how creation was set up, okay, how this Earth was set up. Everything on this Earth has a frequency. You know, I've talked about this for years. Everything has a frequency, which means energy. It has an energy, a vibration, whatever you want to call it. A lot of these sacred sites with the monolithic stones, you know, they found these, what they call cones, you know, a shape of a cone, right?
Yeah.
The stone cones, and when you tap those together, they ring. They've got a unique frequency. And this is what is found all over these, in Egypt and the Gaza. They didn't know what these were. They're in the museums there. And this guy is talking about the frequency that these things, you know, emanate, and this is what the ancients knew. But Creator created the Mother Earth as a frequency. It within her, with the crystals and everything else, has frequency, energy. And you have to say, well, what for? Why did these people build all these monolithic structures, the ancient people, that now we're finding going back further and further and further, these sites are being found that are stunning. The technology is unbelievable. The scientists today say they don't know how they did it. They can't do it today. So something was going on, folks. There was ancient technology brought here. And these monolithic structures, including the pyramids at Giza, are all on what are the ley lines, and every one of these sites are on telluric points. Telluric points means the highest frequency that the Earth exudes, okay? So then you have what people call the grid, okay? You can look at, just Google the grid, Earth's grid, and you can see all of these lines, everything in alignment at these cross points where these, well, we call it the sacred web, where they converge at a cross point are sacred monolithic structures that were built by the ancient people. Why did they do that? Well, what came to me was that it was about the energy frequency and the life force of the Mother Earth. So what you have inside the Mother, what you build on top of the Mother, communicates energetically by frequency and so on. And these are activated through various stones and activating the frequency in these stones. And that travels to the next point and the next point and the next point throughout the whole of the Earth. Why would Creator, Great Spirit, want this? Because this is very important to hold all things in harmony and balance, which is about our original instructions.
Well,
are you there?
Yeah. I was trying to have two different conversations and listen at the same time. We're actually broadcasting on People to People Network as well now. People for People Radio. Which, the link is down in the underneath the chat room down there if anybody wants to go over and check out their site and all. But we had an encoder issue this morning or something, wasn't able to get the stream. So,
well, welcome to those people, yeah.
Oh, okay, somebody else was broadcasting in there, yes. Anyway, so yeah, there's so much more to this world than meets the eye, and that's why I say if you close your eye to possibilities and when people's trying to show you things and you're not paying attention, then you're going to miss out on a lot. Hi, Barry. Are you there?
Oh.
Huh.
Is he there?
I
see his picture. Maybe he went for coffee.
Yeah, I guess he ain't there.
Okay, is Patty? Patty's on, I see her. Oh, she just woke up.
Okay. We're going to try to hit the stream one more time. Ta-da! Nope, nothing yet. Alright, well, anyway.
Well, listen, we just know that all of this information has been hidden from us for a reason. And all this, what you're talking about, Shaziz, what you work on, what you share, you know, I know you double check yourself, triple check yourself and all that, because that's what scientists do.
Yep.
You know? And when you start putting something out and the naysayers appear, guess what? The naysayers will appear. You know, they will always appear, and they've been trained and brainwashed and programmed to doubt anything what you're talking about, what I'm talking about. That's part of the agenda. That's all I can say.
Yep.
Oh, hi guys, how you doing?
Oh, there he is. Hi,
guys. I was just actually getting a cup of coffee here.
I figured.
I haven't even finished making it up yet, so good morning.
So,
good morning.
Basically,
interesting conversation. Yeah.
We what? Always have interesting conversations.
Yep.
So what's going on with you? What's on your mind?
Well, you know what? The last couple of days here, I've been dealing with the back issue, and I actually didn't even go on the radio yesterday because I was in so much pain, but today it seems to be coming around. I went and saw the old back cracker. First time in 4 years I've been there, and he was actually surprised to see me after 4 years, and seems to be coming around today. At least I feel like I can talk. Yesterday I couldn't even talk. So that's what's going on with me, and lots of work going on, and really cool stuff going on with this product that I'm now promoting up here in northern BC. I've actually got my first house going up now. The gentleman in Kitimat is going to be constructing, and we already sent the drawings to the company. He's going to be building the first house up here in this area, hemp. So,
hemp?
Yeah.
Wow.
I talked about
so
it before. I'm involved
yeah.
in a company called Just Biofiber out of Calgary. I'm flying to Calgary here in about 3 weeks I'll be going to Calgary. And I'm going to be doing a seminar and going to the factory and getting fully educated on all aspects of the product.
Well
that's
so,
great.
Why
yeah,
don't you tell
we
somebody
actually got a house going up, you know, and it's going to be built in Kitimat.
Why don't you tell people the advantages of hempcrete?
How much time do I have?
Well,
have you got an hour?
Hey, you know, I want to say something before you start on that, Barry. I just got done reading a book about the golden spruce. It was way up there in Haida country, the Haida, the Indian people up there, way up in British Columbia. The golden spruce, you want to Google the golden spruce, what happened to it. It's pretty extraordinary, but this book I've been reading is about logging, the industry of logging, right? And this is where I look at hempcrete, okay? If the government, which, you know, this is the big question, they know what hempcrete is, they know what it can do, it will end logging. And this is, I realized upon reading this book that every place I drive here on Turtle Island, they're all new forests. There's no ancient forests here. There's no ancient forests anymore, anywhere, in our area. And on the coastal areas of California, even in Europe, in England and so on, They took down, they logged all those ancient forests down. That's the big money, is the logging for everything. The paper used for paper, the paper used for books, the paper used for building, for houses, for furniture, for everything. Now, I know this is tragic because I know about the logging industry, but when I read this book, the immensity of what this logging industry has done is devastating to the old growth forests. And I'm realizing, I'm driving around here in the countryside, and I'm saying, hey, wait a second, I'm looking at the trees in my neighborhood down the road and around this area here in the Hudson Valley. There are no old growth. We think we have forests here. We don't have forests. You know?
We have no idea, Barbara. We have no idea what we have lost in the destruction of the old
growth. It's devastating, you know.
That's one of the reasons I'm going to promote this till I die.
So if you have hempcrete,
it will eliminate logging.
So tell us what the hempcrete. You could build everything.
Well, what the company I'm involved with is producing interlocking building products. You can build anything from a house to a 50-story tall commercial building with these new products. And when people really start, when the public starts to get educated, and that's kind of what I'm going to be doing here, really focusing my attention on in the next little while, is educating the public what the advantages of growing with hemp are as opposed to normal building materials. And when people get educated, man, it is going to go like wildfire. It will absolutely, the public will go nuts on it. But they haven't been educated yet, and that's really what I'm going to focus on. And when I come back from this seminar, I'll be fully educated on how the product's made. I'll be able to answer any question that anybody throws at me. I'm not at that point yet, but some of the major advantages, one of the major advantages, of course, there's five real major, what I would call advantages. One of them is, of course, that the product doesn't burn, that you can expose it to fire for up to 2 hours, and after 2 hours, all you have is a black spot on the building material. The stuff will not burn. And we think about that alone, that statement alone, what it would do to society, the lives and the millions of dollars lost in fires, firemen that lose their lives going in to save people in fires, could all be eliminated in our society. There's now a company in New Medicine, at Alberta, that is coming online, and what we're seeing is, as this industry is going to grow, other industries will pop up to support it. And what this company in Medicine Hat, Alberta, is doing now is producing 2x4s and 2x6s out of hemp with the same thing as a 2-hour fire rating. There's also a company now in Calgary that's going to be coming online here, I heard, in 3 or 4 weeks, that's producing hemp-based gypsum products, drywall products, with the same thing, a 2-hour fire rating. So you can literally produce a house with no chance of that house ever burning to the ground. Hemp-based products get stronger as they get older. Hemp-based products, from the day you build that house till the day it comes down, will consume carbon out of your air and produce oxygen. So you have an absolutely oxygen-enriched environment in your house 24/7, 365 days a year, as opposed to the chemicals that are emanated by normal building materials, the PCBs and the PHBs and all the other stuff that come out of your building material. And then we could talk about black mold. Well, black mold is a major, major problem anywhere in coastal regions. It's a major problem everywhere you have wood built construction, but more so on the coast here, where we're exposed to high levels of humidity like year round. That all can be eliminated because black mold will not grow. And this has been proven. It's peer reviewed studies out there proving the fact that black mold will not grow on hemp based products. The same thing as white mold. It will not grow on these products. So those two things alone, the three things I just stated, are astronomical statements. The fact now that we can build houses with these products the same price as normal building materials, well, anybody with an IQ of 20 looks at the pros of building with hemp as opposed to the normal building materials. It really is a no-brainer. And when the public, I said, gets educated about this, we see it just growing now. The interest is growing in leaps and bounds. So, I could go on and on and on, man. I mean, the load-bearing capacity of these products as opposed to wood, five times what the load-bearing capacity of wood is. So, I mean, the list just goes on and on. I urge people to go have a look at their website. The company is called Just Biofiber. They're based out of Calgary, Alberta.
Throw a link down into the chat room. Move it over to the other chat room. Well, you're already in one of the chat rooms, so you can throw it in there.
But yeah, I'll post it in there for you.
There are all kinds of geometrical shapes that you could actually use on an already strong material and make that material yet even stronger. So what I'm listening to you say, there's all kinds of benefits for being able to use such material. So
I've only touched the top of the list, buddy.
Yeah.
We talk about the carbon absorption qualities of hemp-based materials. If we started building all our houses, this, well, I'm not a believer in carbon affecting the atmosphere anyways, but that would put their argument to rest, because we would be absorbing carbon at incredible rates. And I mean, that alone, we'd become carbon neutral in two generations if we started building our houses with hemp.
No, heck,
I'm going to be interviewing the owner of the company this Friday. So I'll send you a link for that, and I'll post it out there, and people can listen to Terry Radford talk about the products.
Well, just the process of growing the material, that would reduce the carbon as well. The more plants you got, the more carbon.
Well, not only that, I mean, if you look at an acre of conventional wood products, if you were to harvest an acre of wood off and take that fiber and produce it, you'd get, I believe it's around 600 tons off an acre of land. But the thing is, of course, it's going to be 40 years before you're able to harvest that land again.
Yeah.
If you grow hemp on the same acre of land, after that 40 years is up, you produce about, I'm going by memory right now, but I've read the numbers, 26,000 tons of fiber off the same acre of land, because hemp, you can grow two crops a year. And if you're in a hot climate, you're growing year round. We look at all these vacant fields. We look at farmers going out of business. Well, boy, I'll tell you, if you grew industrial hemp on these lands for 2 years and then turned around and put a conventional crop of anything you wanted to grow on that land, you would see those crops grow. I read a study that came out of Europe, guys, and what they did is they did a side-by-side comparison of plots of land. They grew industrial hemp on one side, and they grew corn, I believe it was, on the other side. And after 1 year, they took samples of the soil to analyze it for microbes. And the soil that was on the industrial hemp side was just mind-blowingly contained. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I read this report. What industrial hemp does, because the way the plant grows, the root system goes deep. An 8-foot cannabis plant can have a 10-foot root. If it's really soft soil, it can even have a deeper root. The roots just keep going down and down and down. What they do, of course, they release microbes out of the soil that's never released under normal growing conditions. So this is one of the things that just would blow people's mind. If we could get into this, we talk about food problems in the world. Well, if we had designated land that we were growing in industrial hemp on, and after 2 years we switched to conventional crops and grew them for 2 years and then switched back to hemp after another 2 years, we could cycle our soil in ways that we could produce all the food that the world would need to eat. That's just one of the things that I've looked into, and the benefits. The benefits are far-reaching. We're talking about a complete revolution in the planet if we bring hemp back full spread into our society and use it for all applications of our life, because everything you're looking at in your room, everything you're touching, everything you're seeing right now can be replaced with hemp, period. 50,000 uses for the plant, and we're only touching the surface. If the money that's spent on industrial military complex was spent on developing hemp products, in 2 years we could turn the world right around.
Well, heck no, they would just take the doggone money that they give NASA on a daily basis and put it into research on that. You know,
exactly.
They make
we're only talking the industrial use. They're talking about the medical use.
Yeah, $53 million a day is a lot of money. All right, and God knows how much money they've gotten throughout all the years, you know, since the space program and all that kind of stuff. But I'm still asking the same doggone hard question that I ask everybody for all these years. We got all this technology according to NASA, and we still got people in this world that are suffering, and there's brilliant minds all over the world bringing stuff to the table like you just explained to everybody. Guys like Joseph Newman, John Bedini, Stan Myers basically showed everybody how to use the energy that nature's already provided. And I've been pointing out things right and left that the school book said wasn't even possible. And so, because of that, I get a lot of grief, obviously, because people don't want to, they don't want to let go of their indoctrination. It's kind of like, it's almost just like that movie, The Matrix, when that guy was telling the other guy that the people in this system will fight you tooth and nail to preserve the same system that keeps them enslaved. Well, that's what I see going on with the educated people of this world, is they think they're educated, they think they got it all figured out, and so they'll kick everything to the curb. Tell you what book is true because it was written by this man, but yet this book is false because it was written by man. And so all the science from this point all the way back through the history of time, truth is only subject to the honesty of the teller. And we don't know who's been telling the truth this whole doggone time, but what I can tell you is what I learned about scientific observation. If you try it, and you can repeat it over and over and over again, and it works, then there might just be something to it. So, we should be able to, at the very least, have super efficient electrical devices that your average Joe can afford to run. My light bill for this last month was $450. Now, if you figure $450 a month, if that was the same bill that I would get all year round, my average, I guess, would be anywhere from 200 and something, because I'm all electric, to 400. In my worst case scenario, I got a $600 light bill one time. Well, if you just took down the cheapest one, or and this last one, anywhere from $200 to $450 a month, add it up times 12 months, what could I do with that kind of money? I could do a lot of research with that extra $450 a month. And that's what I'm trying to say to the rest of the people out there. If we can at the very least get the people of this planet energy efficient and get efficient energy devices to people in other countries that don't have access to, you know, a power grid or whatever, that we can raise their quality of life up. And ain't that what it's all supposed to be about? The representatives of the world, quality of life, the protection and security or whatever, you know. It's not what I'm seeing, folks. I'm not seeing it. If I'm still seeing pictures of starving babies in the world, and somebody's telling me they're cold or they're hot or homeless or they need something, and I'm seeing that there's all these brilliant minds that keep stepping up to the plate and offering ideas and solutions, and they keep getting slapped back down by the system and the people in the system. You know, it's pretty bad when you got a slave who basically sucks up to the master and goes around and abuses the rest of the slaves. He don't even know that he's a slave himself. But yet he's going to fight that same person in the system that says, well, you know, there's a better way than what we're doing. He'll be the one to turn you in. He'll be the one to abuse you and call you stupid and try to get everybody else afraid to come on board with trying new ideas. And that is what we see on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all the other social media networks out there. We see the slaves out there beating up the slaves and tell them, yeah, you're dumb. You just don't know about the laws of thermodynamics. Well, let me tell you, 99.9% of everyone who's ever argued the laws of thermodynamics and free energy has misquoted every single one of the so-called laws of thermodynamics, which basically aren't nothing more than a lie. That's all there is to it. So,
boy, I think we should just make us in charge of the world for about a month. Should this, boy, could we turn things around?
Oh yeah, I know we could.
Huh? Boy, people would be going, huh? What? We don't have gasoline anymore. We're going to use ethanol-based, hemp-based ethanol fuel to fuel our products and produce no carbon.
That's right.
That's a pretty good idea. That's a good idea.
Energy
and
is
what you
not
talk
creative.
About, man, the technologies we have, just to the way we're burning our fossil fuels. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I understand some of the things that you've talked about, how we're just burning it out the gas tank, out the fuel, up the exhaust pipe, the stuff that we could be using, and how it could be made more efficient. Why isn't that being brought forward?
Yeah, energy is not
my creative. Sister.
It is tapped.
My sister just had a. Sorry, talking about hydro bills, you know, I was talking to my sister here yesterday. She says she lives in Ontario. 2 years ago, her hydro bill for a month, or was it a 6 week billing period? It was about $260 for a 6 week billing period. She just got her last bill from Hydro One was $780.
Holy
two
smokes.
2 years later. People in Ontario are having to decide between food and electricity right now. Jeez. That's how far these conglomerates have gone.
See?
To put us underneath their thumb.
And to get a water bill that high, you know, I thought $60, $70 water bill was bad. You know, and I just equated it to, you know, we do a lot of laundry and showers and that kind of stuff and filling up the pool or whatever. But
Hydro is electricity for Canadians.
Yeah.
It's not just water, hydroelectric.
Well, that's just the crazy.
Is that Patty Walking Turtle?
Yeah.
Oh, hey Patty, hey sis.
Hello,
how
Patty.
You doing?
I was going through Patty withdrawal symptoms here. I'm glad you showed up there, Patty. I haven't talked to you for a couple weeks.
My favorite conversation, hemp.
Yeah, it's my favorite conversation. You know what, guys? Honestly, when I get down and I get a little bit depressed about all the things I see going on in this world, I always end my day now going to a couple sites, and I'll read a report about a little girl that has had her seizures taken away, or a little boy who's had brain cancer taken out of his brain simply by consuming this God-given wonder on our planet. It brings me up and it inspires me. Well, you know what, Patty? I end my day with that now because I during the course of the day, we all are going down the rabbit holes. We know how bad things are getting. We know how ugly the world is getting. We really have a good idea of what's coming. And what it does for me, it just ends my day on a real positive note. I go to bed with good thoughts in my head instead of the negativity I see.
The thing is,
so
is that
do that every day, guys.
We have this wonderful plant. One plant that can be grown anywhere that has all of the attributes that are needed. Everything that we lack is can be found in hemp, the uses of hemp. But it's only one plant. Imagine if the world were opened up and we were able to actually study plants and to go back to the old days and find the uses of plants and incorporate them into societies today, we would have so many cures. We would have so many textiles. We would have so many ways of growing food, you know, nutrition, abundance. And all of this has been stymied. It's been kept under, under the blanket for so long because, like you were talking about, Barry, the conglomerates, they have to make their profit. And they can't make profit off of something that is natural and that is freely produced by nature, you know?
Well, really, but it's only been taken away in the last, really, if we look at it, you know, the history of cannabis and how it's been used in society, how it's been used on the planet for thousands and thousands of years. It's really just in the last, 1920, 1930, when they really realized at that point that they had to demonize this plant because it represented too much of a threat to everything they saw that was going to make them money, i.e., of course, at that point, vaccines were starting to ramp up, the big farming was ramping up, oil was coming around, they had this new thing called plastic. I mean, they just had it all covered, and they were going to make a lot of money off this, and hemp represented the biggest threat to all of it, and they know that, and they know that today. But we are getting educated as a people. I believe we're getting educated to the point now that a lot of people are starting to really look at what's coming down the tubes a couple, 3, 4, 5, 10 years in the future. And we're seeing a pretty bleak future. And boy, I'll tell you, what you just said, Patty, if there was ever one plant, and there's thousands of plants out there that are just miraculous plants. And like you said, Patty, we haven't even touched the surface. I mean, the microorganisms that are destroyed in old growth forests, we haven't even investigated. We're killing the greatest things on the planet before we even understand what they're doing. And it's just in the last, 150 years since the start of the Industrial Revolution. Prior to that, people were, you know, kind of living in harmony with the planet. And we ate what the planet provided, and we weren't dealing with chemicals, and we weren't dealing with plastic, we weren't dealing with all the stuff that we see we're dealing with today. And henceforth, we find ourselves to be the sickest society in our recorded human history at this particular point. So we need to really get people educated to this fact that what we're doing right now is all wrong, that everything that you've been taught in your life, like we said in this show earlier, is a lie, and that you really have to start looking at what is going to be coming for your children. And that's what motivates me, and especially now that I've got my hands on this incredible building product that gives me an opportunity to really have an impact on people's lives and the planet. And that's what I think about all the time, is this planet and what we're doing to it and how much longer this planet's going to take the crap that we're giving it. How much longer can the food chain keep having pieces taken out of it and not have it collapse? And of course, when it does collapse, society will go screaming around going, hey, we got to do something with this. We're in trouble, but you know what? By then it's too late. And I think that that window of opportunity isn't going to be open for a whole much more time. I think that that window of opportunity actually save this planet, which should be foremost on everybody's mind, is going to close. And I hate to say that, but I never thought I'd be able to say that in my lifetime. I never really honestly thought that I would get to a point where I'm looking at what's going on to this dear planet and think that we are actually capable of killing all life on this planet. Well, and we can do that through nuclear power. We can. Go ahead.
The thing is, the only ones in jeopardy are we the people, because this planet is a self-contained, renewable biosphere. It'll kick us off. It'll shake us off like a bad set of fleas. Humanity will cease to exist, and nature will begin to rebuild itself back better and stronger than ever before. You know,
well, that's if everybody was gone. Every human that was off this planet was gone, you know. But there's you know, rising illnesses because of what we're doing to the planet.
Yeah.
There's the pharmaceuticals. There's the opiate. You know, I mean, there's like endless
things.
It's not
Mother's first time around, guys. Yes. It's not Mother's.
Yes, exactly. When you have the majority, a great percentage of old growth forests, trees are 800 and whatever years old, taken down to build, a house, you can't replace those. It's gonna take 800 plus years, even if they do renew themselves, you know.
Yep.
But for me, it's sort of like, we've always said, I've said this, we've all talked about this, that the Creator gave us everything that we would ever need with this earth here. Everything. Medicines, health, good water, clean water, air, healthy air, everything. Food sources. All the medicines are right here on the earth. Everything we ever needed. We didn't need to build or create a better tomato or this or that. And now we have the pharmaceutical companies basically taking and going into the rainforest and talking to the elders and finding their plant medicines and taking these plant medicines and recreating them in their labs, you know. So it's like, this is a serious thing when you have all of this ancient knowledge being taken down, you know.
History isn't taught anymore. At some point, it's going to take a mass awakening of these people out here to get the wisdom to actually start paying attention to what we're saying. All the cures, everything necessary, all the energy we could ever use in a lifetime been provided for us. And if we worked in perfect harmony with nature, nature would reward us in ways that you couldn't even imagine. You know, I think back about that one deal we talked about here a while back about that tree that they call Devil's Tower, or basically they call it the
Devil's Tower.
Yeah.
Right.
But either way, if that would have been a tree, and the math that they used to figure out how big that tree actually would have been, that tree would have been 16 miles tall. How old is a tree that's 16 miles tall? Now, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing, I would have felt tiny underneath a tree like that, and if there was somebody on this planet big enough to cut that tree down, I wouldn't want to tangle with them.
Well, there's the other cover-up.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
We could get into the cover-up of the giants. More and more people are talking about this piece, too, this other hidden information, you know?
Well,
vaginas.
That's the thing, is everything that we talk about, when we get into subjects like that, that is the gate to allow all the people, oh, look, they're crazy. They just went over the tenfold side. You know, look, okay.
Now they're talking about giants.
How many people were alive today that were alive back then and could visually see with their own two eyes and be a witness to whatever was going on with technology and everything? Because there is a book out there that said that back in those days there were certain fallen angels that came down and gave man technology that man wasn't supposed to have. And so was that part of electricity? Did it have to do with how megalithic structures were built with supposedly primitive tools, either iron or brass or bronze or whatever, you know? And so there's a lot of questions to be asked, but if you go check the history book, they'll say, well, the caveman did it with chisels.
No, because there's also the information, like the guy who built the castle, is it in Florida? The
Coral
Castle, and he did that with the cones, with vibration and sound.
That's right, with the frequency. He talked about that earlier.
Yeah, yep. Magnetic frequency and stuff.
Well, they found those same cones in
everywhere.
They're finding these cones. You know, this is about frequency and the tone, the sounds of these particular stones. You know,
and wasn't there a experiment that was done on a bridge? I don't believe it was Tesla, but it was somebody that came after him, and they were able with sound. To raise this bridge.
Well, yeah. Look, here's something. Okay, everybody to this day probably has one of these devices in their house called a microwave oven. It's pretty neat. You can put your sandwich in there and hit the little button that says sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
I would have one.
Mm-hmm. I would never own one of those. My meters went up when that came out.
Yeah, well, listen to this. You look inside there, you don't see nothing happening. There's an invisible wave that they call a microwave that is interacting
right.
with the water molecule inside there. So it's magically doing something to this water molecule that is affecting the water to the extent where it causes it to get hot and it cooks that food. So to say or to even think that frequency would not have any way to interact with any type of material. Yeah, tuning forks, that's a material that uses frequency. Everything like a banjo to a guitar to a flute uses frequencies, whether it be acoustic waves or vibrational waves. All this is related to frequency, and if you look up the definition of frequency and you understand, it's basically, you know, these waves are happening at this time, this time, this time, and that. So the faster it happens, the higher the frequency, the slower it happens, the slower the frequency. But nonetheless, we know that there are certain frequencies that make you sick. We know there are certain frequencies that make... It's like if I started singing right now, if I was out of tune...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it'd be on like
Donkey
Kong.
Shatter a glass.
I'm not feeling so well.
You shatter a glass with your voice.
Ah.
Yeah, the glass-shattering frequency, yeah. Right?
There's also the Sesar that they are developing, or have developed, that sound, uses frequency and sound. And this is much more potent, let's say, than the light lasers. And I was just doing a little research on that the other day. Sesar, S-A-Z-A-R, I think. I'm a little low. Okay. You guys hearing me okay?
Better.
We go through this every week, you know?
That's better.
Okay. She says, I wanted to ask you while I got the chance, are we on People for People?
Not at the moment, but we are connected with them. Him and I got to work out what's going on with the encoder because we tried to fire it up this morning and either somebody was already broadcasting or got to reset the server, but we will be on there.
I wanted to give a shout out to Ray Moore because, you know, Ray Moore he's a regular with People for People. He was with TNS. He's been there. He wrote a couple of books. And children's books, and he sent them to me. I wanted to say thanks.
Well, go ahead and give him a shout out. I think he just did, because they're going to get the podcast anyway.
Hey, cool. Thank you, Ray. I got them in the mail. They're beautifully illustrated, and you are such a poet. Wonderful little books. My grandchildren are going to hear both of them. And I just want to thank you. And thanks to people. I love you guys.
Yeah, and for those of you that are just tuning in or jumping into the chat room, if you want, you can go down underneath the chat room. There is a link with a little sign that says People for People Radio, and you can click on that and go over there and support them and say hi and tell them we sent you and all that kind of jazz. Go over there and say, woohoo, I'm here. All right, so look, folks. I'm doing experiments right now with a small circuit that, by standard definition, should really get hot. I mean, it should, you know, because it's if anything is drawing power, it should get hot, but it doesn't. It's using frequency, a higher frequency, to pulse coils, and I have actually have been able to pulse not one, but seven separate transformers in parallel with the same circuit, and it does the job it's supposed to do, and it does not get hot. Energy does not like to be restricted. Anytime you have resistance and all that energy, once you slap that wave in the pool, you know, that wave's going to go, and it's going to find its way to balance. And if there's anything in the way, it's just going to go right around it. And that's exactly what energy does. So if energy meets resistance, then it generates heat. And that is why all of our electronics are failing. That is why our electrical motors and so on, compressor motors and whatever, that is why they are getting hot. That is why they are inefficient, is because we are pushing too much energy through a system that does not require that much energy. And so, at the very least, I've already proven free energy. There's nobody on this planet ever going to tell me any different, and I don't care. I'm not even going to remotely argue about it. Energy is free. If you don't like it, well, I don't know what to tell you. All right, you ain't got a bill from the sun, you ain't got a bill from the wind, you ain't got a bill from the water, and you ain't got a bill from the earth, but you did get a bill from the middleman, and that was the power company and the government wanting to get their little piece of the pie as well. But nonetheless, I'm going to show the people of this world how to use energy in such a different fashion and more efficiently than you can possibly imagine. And if people take this information and they enact it and they use this information, not only will they design things, but literally, quite literally, right underneath the nose of all the corporations and the governments and anybody who's out there trying to hinder free energy being able to get out to the people, it will be right underneath their nose before they even knew what hit them. It already is. Now, I'm just pointing out the off-the-store shelf types of devices and circuitry that are coming on the market, and I got to give credit to China, because their electronics out there, man, not only can they make them cheaper, but they do amazing things. You'd be surprised at what you can do with transistors and MOSFETs and different electrical devices and such. Like I said, those coils do not care where that magnetic field comes from. We're essentially taking a circuit and sending a radio wave inside that coil, which is producing a magnetic field that produces the induction, which produces the current flow, and so on. And
gain
the eddy
frequency.
Current... that, huh?
Said again, frequency.
Yep, that's it. That's exactly it. And if you run it at the right frequency range, you will not generate no heat, because that energy can move smoothly through the system and it's not backing up at the gate. I explained it earlier as imagine about 100 million little electron people, they're heading for the gate, and when they get up there, they start getting bunched up at the gate, and everybody's getting mad because they're all crowded in there, and the friction and the heat, next thing you know, they're all fighting each other, all right, generating yet even more heat. That's what's going on. But at the right frequency, you can send the same exact wave through that you need to get the energy to flow without backing it up. You allow that energy to flow freely and quickly through the gate, and you'll get just as much energy out of the same thing as you would be if you were cramming a whole bunch of voltage that wasn't necessary to do through that same device in order to get it to function.
You know, I do frequency experiments here all the time. I can, you know, just with my voice, you know. All I have to do is change the frequency of my voice and my grandkids' voice, and they do exactly what I want them to do.
Yeah!
I don't have to force them at all.
Just the tone is all it takes. And it's not what you say, it's how you say it. That's what I keep trying to tell people.
That is power.
But, you know, look.
Well, you know, on that, I just want to come in and say on that, what Patty's talking about is, it's pretty extraordinary, the power that we have, you know, the power of our, not only our voice at a different tone, how we put it out, but our intention. Words have power, our intention has power, our emotion has power, because they all exude a particular energy frequency. And I think that this is part of what we've been kept from understanding, is the power that Creator gave us. It's, you know, if you have love in your heart, if you feel love, that's an amazing frequency. And people feel that. If you're just filled with love, people feel that. You know, I'm going to call that a divine frequency, or one of the highest frequencies, you know. If you are angry and bitter and all that other stuff, that's a low frequency. If people around you could feel it. But it's not just people around us. These energies, these frequencies, like all of nature, exude a frequency that emanates outward into the whole, what we call the greater web or the cosmic web or the web of the earth. That's how powerful we are. We can create extraordinary things. You know, just like you say, well, prayer has a frequency. When you have love in your heart for a person or a situation or a circumstance, and you are praying, that's a high frequency. And we know miracles happen through prayer, you know, the level of prayer I'm talking about, right? Did I lose
everything? Yeah, she's stepped out for a minute. Patty's gone to get coffee.
Oh, everybody's gone. Wait a second.
I'm still here.
Can you hear me?
I got your back, Barb.
So what do you think I just said? What do you say?
You know what? I had to step away myself for a few minutes because I was talking to somebody else on Skype, so I kind of missed the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Well, I was talking about ourselves, the human frequency, about how love in our heart is a high frequency, right? How love in our heart, and we are in prayer, is one of the highest divine frequencies, and I'm going to call it that. And how if you are angry, if you have hate in your heart, or hate, you're exuding that, that's a low frequency, and that affects everyone around you. But not only everyone around us who's close to us, but the whole, you know, it emanates out into the whole of the world and the universe. That's how powerful. And I do believe in miracles, and I know the frequency of prayer and love create miracles.
Yeah, well, you know, Barb, I let that. Go ahead, Patty. I was just gonna say, I let that negativity creep into me there for about 3 or 4 days of my life there a couple of weeks ago. And
yeah, I saw you.
I told you, don't let that energy get into you. And I took your words to heart. But I also got into some prayer, and I really just asked my Lord Jesus to get me out of this stuff and this thought and this whole thing that was, it's like when you get into that space, you open up a portal to very negative entities, evil entities. And I experienced that, and I can say honestly it's gone now. I'm back to what I should be doing all the time, and it just... What you're saying is so true, Barb. When you open yourself up to any kind of negativity, you're really opening up a can of worms. And we got to be on guard against that. And thanks for those words of wisdom.
Well, I wanted to add into the conversation also, you know, it used to be that in days that widely thought was given to the naming of the child. It was important that this child be named appropriately. There were ceremonies that were actually done in order to name children, stuff like this. And there is power in the name. And we know this because we've seen the different experiments that have been done. They've been done on water. They've also been done Truth Stream Media on YouTube recently did a study and a little experiment on three jars of cooked rice. And they took these three jars, the same rice from the same pot with the same water, three sterilized jars with lids, and they put rice in each one of these jars, closed the lids, and on each one of these jars they put a label, and one said love, the other said hate, and then they had one that was just control, left alone and not messed with at all. And so every day they would go and they would pick up the jar that said love, and they would talk to this rice in a loving way. They would put out words that described the beauty and the love and wholesomeness, all the good words to describe this rice. And the one that had hate on it, they would bash it. You know, they would call it ugly names, and they would deride it and say all of these negative things to it. And at the end of a 2 month, they did this for 2 months. And anybody ever had rice sit in a bowl for a couple of days, you know what happens. But the rice that was in the jar, that was the control, was it was pretty bad. It grew mold, you know. Was pretty much on its way to changing its molecular structure. The one that had hate on it was the worst. It had this thick white fungus that had taken over the whole jar almost, and caused the rice to start turning black and this
disease. It became sick.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
And the one that they took that had love on it, it had a little bit of mold, you know, just a little, but not bad mold. It was more like a little fungus. And it otherwise looked perfectly okay. It was amazing. You know, and it's the same experiment, the same principle on the water molecule experiment that they did. And it shows us that the words and the intent of our words and the frequency with which we speak have a direct correlation and effect on whatever it is we focus on.
Yeah,
so
that's right. So think about if you say to your child or anyone, "You disgust me," or "I hate you." You know, think of it, because we're made up of more than 70-some% of water. And, you know, this knowledge, this is ancient knowledge, because there's a sacred ceremony that was given us about 15 years ago by the women, the Anishinaabe women up north. This song, it's a chant. It's called Nibiwabo. It's a women's water ceremony. And this was forgotten or hidden or disallowed for over 200 years, and it was brought out by a grandmother who was on her, pretty much going to be passing over, and she gave it to her granddaughter. She said, "This has to come back here to all women, not just our people, but all women need to know this, because this prayer ceremony changes the molecular structure of the water back to its original frequency, its original knowledge, its original harmony and balance." And that's ancient knowledge. And then you had that scientist, that that scientists who did the water experiments like you're talking about, you know, then others have done the rice experiment, and they've proven the power of words, how they either heal or they can create sickness and destroy things.
There's something else about that that experiment. If somebody goes to do that experiment and they have no expectations that it'll work, if their attitude is just, I'm just going to try it, see if it works, you're not going to get the results. That shows something. It's kind of like there's a...
intent.
Yeah, there's a...
Well, the intent, exactly, because if you have... If you really truly say to that water or to that food, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for, you know, for your life and for how you help us and feed us and nurture us. I'm so grateful. Those words are very powerful.
Yep.
You know, this is what we're talking about. And so think about the language and the behaviors that are roiling all around the earth now and how we're affecting things.
Take that another step. I mean, how many times have you been in a room? You have a grown child, a toddler, and they are crying. That affects you. It makes you anxious. It makes you want to stop that pain. You want to bring comfort to that baby. That cry is hurting you. It is affecting you physically and emotionally. When that child is happy and that child is laughing and giggling, there is something that happens within you that your whole body vibrates in that joy.
Yeah.
How many times has this happened? You know, that we experience this in our living rooms, in our, you know, in our homes with our own children. The frequency of life is what controls all of our emotions. And these controllers, they've known this forever. They have known these principles forever, and they have used them against us. It's like what we're experiencing today in the world of mass media, the doom and gloom sayers that are constantly out there telling you, you know, you get on YouTube and you can find any number of videos that are going to tell you, oh, we're going to die from a meteor, we're going to die from Nibiru, we're going to die from this, we're going to die from that, we're going to die.
Yeah.
You know? It's all about fear. It's all about putting fear into people, because fear is a powerful, powerful negator of harmony and peace.
Well, the elite know all about frequency. That's why they got those weapons of war sound cannons now. I seen a video quite some time back where they had this guy try to stand in front of this machine when they turned it on. And this is a big, giant Marine, you know, big, muscle-bound guy. And he couldn't stand there as much as 30 seconds before he had to get out of the way.
I saw that.
Yeah.
There's also that frequency weapon that there's videos on YouTube that the police were testing out. And they had a guy in a suit, a padded suit. And this guy was about 20 yards away from this one guy who was shooting out this frequency. There was nothing coming out of there except for frequency. And it would heat up the person.
Yeah, like a microwave.
In their torso. Huh. Yeah, in their torso area. And he even got a mattress and put between him and this gun, and it still was able to affect him. And that is with frequencies. So, yeah, you can't deny the science, you know.
That's why I've
but
been
we have
driving.
We have HARP, we have HAARP, you know, that should be investigated by people. Angels Don't Play This HARP was the first book. I can't remember that man's name.
Well,
maybe you guys remember, but it's all about these technologies that affect people's minds and emotion.
I actually own that copy of that book, but I'll have to look and see who the author was or Google it up or whatever.
Begay, Nick Begay.
But,
I think it's Nick Begay.
That's why I've been trying to tell people for a long time about the way that we're using energy. We're using it all wrong. We're basically using 60 hertz over here in the States, and they're using 50 hertz over in the European countries and beyond. And it seems like their appliances last longer, but basically what we're doing is we're cramming too much current at 60 hertz into our appliances, and so after running for a while, that energy being restricted by the resistance of whatever device we're trying to run is getting hot. And they know that heat destroys stuff. That's everything has a thermal breakdown. Once it reaches that thermal breakdown, it starts to smoke and catches fire, and it's done. All right. And so the same amount of energy that you want to use and need to use to run an electric motor can be done at a different frequency range and not cause that thing to back up in energy. You need to allow that energy to be able to flow through smoothly, and all those fields need to do is be able to interact with each other in order to get the work done that you want to do. So, you know, I think we could actually live in the Stone Age and survive and do just fine using, you know, nature and basic science, but I kind of like the air conditioning and the heating and such, and I like being able to get on the computer and look up pictures and diagrams of things that I'm interested in. So I love technology. I'm not afraid of technology as long as it's used properly. But
when EMP could ruin our day.
Well, sure.
But people don't realize that. But boy, wouldn't that be a scenario in society, eh? Put us all back into the Stone Age overnight?
But Michael Faraday and Tesla showed me how to protect my devices, and so right now, if there's an electromagnetic pulse that blaps out the entire power grid, I'm still going to have my computers, and they'll still function just like they did before. I just won't be able to talk to anybody outside that theirs isn't protected, but nonetheless... You know, Michael Faraday, the Faraday cage, Tesla used it, and Tesla was standing in the midst of thousands of volts, if not millions of volts, and never once got shocked because he understood how that energy travels.
Right.
Well, they say also that a microwave will protect your electronics also.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the powers to be have protected theirs.
When you discover something, advanced technology, or something that will help the people... as what happened with Tesla, right?
Yep.
The government will find you, and they take it to you, to use it for no good.
Yeah.
I mean, angels don't play this harp. Our advances and our uses of Tesla's technology.
Yep.
And not used for good stuff.
Nope. Well, the thing is, Stan Meyer showed everybody how to crack water. Water's hydrogen and oxygen. He showed everybody how to run an internal combustion engine off of water. Well, the military said that they wanted to use it. He said no, he wants to try to bring it to the people. And about a couple weeks later, the story goes that he was heard coming out of a restaurant and saying they poisoned him and he died of a heart attack. Well, then you move on over to John Bedini and his brother. John Bedini's brother died first, and then they say that John Bedini died of a broken heart a day later. All right. Well, I bet he did, because his stuff worked. And you go on down to Joseph Newman, who's been at it since 1965, and a lot of these guys that I were talking about, if you look at the documentaries on them, Stan Myers was on TV. He was showing them that his stuff worked. John Bedini, same thing. And Joseph Newman. Same thing. All of them are on TV saying that we got this new energy, you know, a new way to use energy, you know, and this could solve the oil crisis and all that. And the people back then, they were entertaining the idea that it was possible. But nowadays, they just come right out and say, oh, no, use another charlatan, it don't work, you know, and people buy it, you know. And then the people that are supposedly getting educated in these indoctrination systems will come out and fight with guys like me who point things out that if you tried it, instead of sitting there telling me that it don't work, if you sat there and tried it, and it worked for you, and it worked for me, and it worked for the next guy, then maybe there's something to what I'm saying, you know. And it's frustrating. Because all these brilliant minds, John Bedini, Stan Myers, Tesla, Joseph Newman, there's so many more out there in the alternative energy. A lot of the links that Stephen Gibbons posted on the doggone resource pages, those are some of the researchers that were involved in that. And there are so many more brilliant minds out there But every single one of them has something in common. They all believed that what they were doing was going to help out humanity, and they all ended up dying of either a heart attack, suicide, lead poisoning, a broken heart, and so on. And it's ridiculous. It's flat out
Barry
ridiculous.
Wants the talking stick.
Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Well.
Really, I don't believe that.
Now that's a faux pas.
Yeah, exactly.
You caught me at a bad moment.
Well.
Now you're not going to get the talking stick back, Barry.
Okay, I'm just trying to choke that down, okay? Excuse me. I'm not supposed to be, I had my mic muted out, but anyway, no, I forgot what I was going to say. There's so many different things we're talking about. My mind gets going in a million different directions. But yeah, I'm enjoying this conversation. I'm really loving the input we're getting from everybody sitting here right now.
Well, Barry, you brought to the table.
Which is good.
Barry, you brought to the table information about a new material that is, fire resistant at the very least, or fireproof at the best, and the strength of it, and the fact that you don't have to chop down trees to get it, and that kind of information, it's dangerous to those out there that want to make money off of 2x4s and logging industries and so on down the line. So, even the concrete companies might have something to say about it. That's how
they
all
can't
this,
stop it now.
Yeah, that's how all this stuff
they
gets
can't
hindered.
Put it back in the box.
Well, I'm glad.
But they can regulate it to oblivion.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen either, Patty. I mean, maybe they'll try and put some regulations on it, but the fact is that when it grabs the public and it starts to be used widespread, even if the government has some nefarious way of putting regulation on, I mean, stop it or slow it down, I can't see that happening because, like I said, when people really start to see this, then the demand is going to grow. We know that. The company spent $20 million developing these products because they know that when the public becomes educated, when they're fully educated on this product, wood will cease to be used. The logging industry, I get a lot of kickback from people, and they're going, well, Barry, what you're talking about is you're talking about the end of logging. And I'm going, yeah, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be a bonus for our planet?
That's going to happen someday.
On. But yeah, but what about all the jobs, Barry? All these people that are going to go out of work? I go, hey, wait a second, hold on. But for every industry that dies, another one rises. And there will be supporting industries that rise left, right, and center. When this becomes mainstream, there will be supporting industries come up left, right, and center that will replace every job ever lost in the logging industry. And we won't have scars all over our land. And maybe in 80 years, we can have some old-growth forest again, or maybe 1,000 years, we can have old-growth forest again. Or maybe we'll stop cutting down the last little old-growth that's on the planet. Maybe the destruction of the rainforest can come to an end.
I just got a brilliant idea. I got a brilliant idea.
Let's hear it. I love brilliant ideas. You come from a brilliant guy.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go lobby Congress to make free energy illegal. I want a prohibition against free energy. And I'll tell you why. Because back during the prohibition, people wanted alcohol. They got it. All right? It started a ruckus. And so they had to finally give up and give them back the alcohol. Well, and the war on drugs, it didn't work out so well either. They made that illegal, and everybody wanted it. It seems like that people want it if it's illegal, but they don't want it if it's not illegal. So, what I want to do is lobby Congress to literally make free energy illegal. All right, a prohibition against free energy. And then, when the power companies sell you something that is illegal, because they're going to have to prove where they got that energy from. Wait a second. That was a hydroelectric dam. Well, I'm guessing you just used free energy and you sold it. That's black marketing, right? So now we got to fine you. All right, throw some of the hydroelectric people in jail for selling contraband. What do you think? Now, and we got the solar folks and the wind
well,
folks.
Well, it's a bit of psychology here, twisted psychology. that you're using, but the government certainly uses that.
Yeah.
Well, look at what's happening with medical marijuana.
Yep.
You know, look at what...
I hate that word. Oh. I hate that word.
Hey, we medical got two cannabis. More listeners. It's the DA.
I'm sorry. Okay. But that's what they're using, medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this is a bad thing. But now, you know, all these things are coming out that people are, you know, really getting healed from this plant medicine, because that's what it is. It's a plant medicine.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that I had bought me some hemp seed oil, and I used it to cure a symptoms that I was having that could have mimicked either colon cancer or a large prostate, and I took a tablespoon of that a day, every day, been taking it for the longest time to have no more symptoms. I could sleep all the way through the night, no frequent trips to the restroom and such all night long, so...
So you want to stay on that for the rest of your life, Shaziz, as a maintenance dose.
Yep.
Period. If they said that to fix your problem, it will nip in the bud other problems that want to arise in our body because of how it stimulates the endocannabinoid signaling system in the body. Actually, how much time we got left in the show right now? I see a doctor friend of mine is online.
About a half an hour.
I'm going to step out of this. Well, look, I'll tell you what. You guys want to? I'm going to see if I can get Dr. Allen to come in and talk to us for about 15 minutes about the endocannabinoid signaling system, because we talked about the industrial use of hemp. In my world, the medical and the industrial are a 50-50 split. They're both critical and both just as important to society. I'm going to step out of this call for 2 minutes. I'm going to see if I can get Dr. Allen to join us for 15 minutes.
All right, make sure you give him the speech.
No, Dr. Allen will give you a speech. He's... cool guy.
Yeah,
and
cool.
He's been studying this system for about 15 or 18 years of his life. I'll be right back.
We just don't have a good bleep button. All right, so.
I'll do it. Bleep.
Yeah.
Bleep.
All right, so, you know, basically we've explained all kinds of things in the health field and in alternative energy, medicines, everything. It's mind-blowing what we could actually do if we seriously wanted to get results. And I keep telling everybody, it's going to have to be from the people. It ain't going to be from any of the companies or corporations out there. I mean, they say a good message, but they don't really deliver on it. And I've actually messaged not once, but multiple times our new president and said, look, you know, give me a chance to talk to you or something, you know. But, you know, it's like the kings and queens and the peasants. You're a peasant, so you're nobody. I don't want to talk to you kind of thing. That's
well,
what I feel
think,
like.
I think, too, that we need to get past, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, we need to get rid of technology. We need technology.
Yeah.
We need the right kind of technology. We don't have that right now. All the technology that is developed is built upon this profit system and this monetary system of building wealth, and the corporate conglomerates, they are the ones who are pushing all the technologies in all the universities. Nothing, you know, funding doesn't come unless you're studying what we want you to study and you're coming up with the technologies that we want you to come up with. That's what's wrong with technology. But we can build a world of technology that is made from the natural aspects of life, from the sciences that nature gives us, and we can improve on every technology. The health industry would truly be an industry of health if we concentrated on the nutritional value of food as our medicine instead of on the pseudo science of pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
The same thing in every other aspect of society and of industry. We have the technology, we have the wherewithal, we have what nature provides that can give us clean energy, that can give us clean water, that can give us better building materials, that can give us actual health, all of these things, transportation, you name it. We can develop technologies that are not harmful to the earth or to us. That we have that ability. We have a system that is set up and geared to the opposite of that. It's these systems that have to change. Not the the technology will change when the people are allowed to bring the reality of the real technology, the clean technology, the beneficial technology.
I discovered something yesterday that I'm going to share with everybody in a video pretty soon. But I built a transformer out of a couple existing parts that basically these are stators out of a regular lawnmower, the ones that have a starter on them. And they are what charges your battery back up while you're driving it. But I took a couple of these stators and I built a custom transformer using these stators as they exist. Well, went to pulse it and I got absolutely no voltage out the other side. And I'm like, what's going on? So I had it on the AC side because usually when you pulse coils, you get an AC current. And I couldn't figure out what's going on. So I checked the wires, and the wires were fine. And so did a few tests and rewired here and there, and same result, nothing. And then, so just out of curiosity, I hooked a electric motor to each side of the terminal and realized the reason why I wasn't getting a measurement was because it wasn't AC current that was coming out of that transformer. It was DC current. And that shouldn't have been possible, but it was. It is. It literally, because of the way that these things are wound around the cores, and that they were inverse to each other, flipped around backwards and on top of each other, it literally took the energy from one side, spun it that direction, and the energy from the other side spun it the opposite direction and created a DC current flow, a direct current flow, out of that transformer. It's amazing. And I ran this thing and ran it, and I ran a bunch of other tests on the thing, and it just continued to perform like it should not have. It should have been AC current coming out. I should have had to have diodes to rectify that AC back into a DC current, but now I know that it is possible to literally produce a doggone transformer that will be a DC to DC or AC to DC current coming out the other side, and it tells me that we now have the capability to literally build the perfect transformers to work perfectly and efficiently with whatever device we need to run. So I'm pretty excited about it, and hope to get a video up soon to share with everybody that this is an experiment you can try if you have access to old lawnmower parts, and you can get a couple of those stators out of there, and I'll show you how to set them up and basically pulse these things. And the information in the prior video, what I showed with what Bedini circuit was capable of doing, being able to run a doggone motor off of two negative posts to a battery, it's not supposed to be possible. But here lately, it just seems like everything that's not supposed to be possible is being proven that it is possible. We are standing at a crossroad right now, and if the average Joe takes this information and runs with it, we can put free energy out there for everybody right underneath the noses of all the patent offices and the governments of the world and all the corporations. They won't even know what hit them, and it'll come under the guise of efficiency. It's as simple as that. So, spread this message if you can, and tell people to come here, talk about it. That's the only way we're going to get it done. And anybody who wants to test anything that I'm saying, it's as simple as getting you a couple junk parts just like I did and put them together the same way and try it. A scientific observation, if it's repeatable on your side, if it's repeatable on my side, then it becomes science fact instead of science fiction. It's no longer a theory when you can do it as well. So,
well, we've decided here that we're going to mirror your experiment. We're going to try the same thing that you do.
Cool. So, do you have access to any old broken down lawnmowers?
We have plenty of access to all kind of broken down stuff, so yeah. Right.
Well, if you can get a couple staters out of a doggone couple riding mowers that have starters on there, and you take those staters and there's two wires hanging off those staters, you reverse and flip it over to the other side, and there's little metal pieces, and then there's coils. Line them all up like, you know, the coils on top of each other. You're gonna tape them up and insulate them. When you get around to doing it, I'll actually get on Skype and show you.
Yeah, you're gonna have.
Yeah,
to.
But either way, you can make a transformer just like the one I did.
And when we do it, Shaziz, then you'll be able to tell everybody that, look, I'm a scientist. I do this stuff. But here you got a layman who understands absolutely practically nothing, and they were able to reproduce it also. So
yeah, and these little
if
circuits,
Patty can do it, anybody can do it.
These little circuits that I've been pulsing these coils with, I found them as cheap, and I actually posted a link last week. I'll probably have to repost the link, but posted a link on eBay. You can get these things for under $5. And I ordered four more of them because they're such good circuits, and I'm not even using all of the... There's three terminals on the output side. I'm only using two of them, and I'm getting better results, and the thing's not getting hot. So it tells me we're using energy in a completely different way. We're using it extremely efficient, which means the battery's going to last a heck of a lot longer, and it also means that you, instead of having to go out and buy you a massive solar array, you can go out and get you a little cheapo solar panel that will maintain that battery. You find out what your draw is per hour, and if you can match that draw per hour in solar, then you can keep that battery fully charged and still run this circuitry, which then in turn can pulse as many coils or transformers as you can put in parallel.
You don't even need to go out and buy a solar panel. There are YouTube videos. The Tech Dude, I think, is one of them. Several out there, though, that you can build your own solar array.
Yep.
From things that you have around the house. Ray can't hear anything. So Ray is in the chat, the one that I gave the shout out about the books. So I'm going to try and get him. He's trying to get the player going. So
yeah, it might have to refresh sometimes.
Let me see.
But either way, even if you can't come up with a solar panel, there's all kinds of permanent magnet electric motors, like in treadmills. They got those 30-volt electric motors, that permanent magnet brushless electric motors. Those are, you could turn a windmill, turn it into a windmill by adding magnets inside of a doggone old ceiling fan motor. You can turn that into a windmill. A wind generator, and the old Fisher and Paykel or Samsung model direct drive washing machine motors, those are generators right out of the gate. You can turn that into a windmill. And all this information that I'm telling you right now, don't feel like you're going to lose it, because I've been posting it on this site, and I've been posting it on YouTube. There's videos about it, and different videos about all kinds of different anomalies that have to do with alternative energy and generating power. And the key is, once you learn how to use this energy properly, you know, capacitors, they're amazing things. You get the capacitors, you can use them for all kinds of purposes. They got AC capacitors, they have DC capacitors, you can make your own homemade capacitors, which is something I also showed on my YouTube channel. And the capacitor basically supplementing a battery makes that battery stronger than it was before. And for smoothing out the current, you put a capacitor in there, and it'll add pressure inside that and give it a boost on the other side. There's actual circuits out there they call boost converter circuits. And those will raise the voltage up. And you can use knowledge from how to redesign transformers to boost the current back up. So you can even get this stuff to run the inefficient junk that we've already got going on without having to have a massive generator or a massive electric bill and all that kind of stuff. So if you took all this information, these pieces of the puzzle, and put them in together, start taking, one light at a time off your power grid. For every light bulb you take off the power grid and put on an alternative energy source, that's pennies in your pocket, and so on. And the more efficiency, when you go around your house and do an audit of how much energy that you're actually using, those little phone chargers that you leave plugged into the wall, they are a drain on your power. Your old satellite dish or your direct TV or even your cable box, when you're not using that, should be turned completely off and unplugged from the wall. All of those things are draining power, costing you more money. And I look at it like this. If you spend a couple months unplugging things that aren't necessarily needed to be plugged in, maybe even use a battery-operated alarm clock or whatever, shutting all these stuff off, changing to more efficient bulbs in your house, whether it be LEDs or fluorescents or whatever, even some of the technology that they use in what they classify third world countries. They use refraction where they bring sunlight in from the outside, the equivalence of a 60 to an 80 watt light bulb from the ceiling, stuff like that. There are ways that you can modify your existing home and your energy uses to start saving you money so that at the end of the month, like for me example, if I didn't have to pay $450 this month and I had access to that $450 to buy more equipment to do more research, you can imagine how many more new things I could come up with. So once I'm off the power grid, I'm a wealthy man because I don't have to pay the power company no $450 to $600 a month depending on how cold or how hot it is outside. That's what I'm trying to say to everybody. And if you took your combined resources, if I took my $450 and invested it into an alternative researcher out there every month, that $450 gets some more ideas out on the table and so on down the line. If we all invest our extra resources into each other, we could literally bring free energy to the table, out into everybody's homes and out into the world where people need to have heating and cooling and fresh water and so on. We the people can do this if we choose to do so. So, who's on board with that?
I'm on board.
And I love that picture.
I'm there.
That picture, that possum, it just warms my heart.
I'm on board for anything that helps the people. And I just, sending all this information we're sending out for people to wake up, really, and just to begin to do their own research and explorations and not be such naysayers immediately. Watch that immediate reaction, because that's sort of like, to me, it tells me that, everybody's been trained very well to be doubters or naysayers of anything that might possibly be really good for you. Just saying.
Yeah, I told you earlier, I lost a lot of friends in the alternative energy community. I'm not out trying to rip anybody off, but, I got both feet out of the box. And I'm looking in the box telling everybody, hey, there's a better way to do that. And I got friends that have one foot in the box and one foot out of the box, and they're still trying to hold on dearly to the laws of physics so it'll make sense in their mind. And I'm showing something contrary to what the book says, and they choose to argue terminology with me over what's actually occurring. And when I say, did you try the experiment? They say, well, no, because it won't work. It's not going to work. And I'm like, well, did you try the experiment? No, because it ain't going to work. And I'm saying, did you try the experiment? And you can see how this goes in circle after circle after circle, and nobody gets anything accomplished. But I'm stupid because I tried to tell them something that didn't match what they wanted me to say. I had to submit to my friend or lose my friend. I'm sorry, I lost my friend. Because this is more important. There's people out there in this world that are thirsty. They need fresh water to drink. There's people out there in this world that are cold. They need heat. There's people that are hot. They need air conditioning. There's people that need to keep their food fresh so that their children will have food. It's not cheap to be replacing food every single day when your refrigerator goes bad. Or the power company gets mad and shuts you off because you didn't pay them fast enough. I've been down that road. I ran two gasoline generators back during the time when it was $4 a gallon for gas. And you want to talk about struggle? These generators were junk. I almost electrocuted myself multiple times, almost started fires with the doggone things. Had to have them outside so that I wouldn't get carbon monoxide up in the house. They didn't have enough wattage to run all the inefficient junk that I had, so my wife was miserable, and everybody knows what happens when your wife is miserable. You ain't gonna be happy either. Keep mama happy and you're happy. That's the way it works. But, that's the deal.
I wanna, Ray Moore is in the chat, and, Ray is a very long-time friend. Met him on TNS, and he's the one I gave the shout-out about earlier. I just wanted to welcome him into the chat. And he's got these two books that he's written, children's books, that are really adorable. The illustrations are beautiful. One is Mac Daddy Spider, and he's a Scottish spider. I think that's so cool.
Cool.
And then Twins and Things. And these are two books that he's written, children's books. And I've known that Ray's been a writer for a very long time. But he, as far as I knew, he never published. Now he's finally published, so I just want to give him a shout out.
Well, here's an idea. If he's got a website or some links, post them down in the chat room, and we'll throw up links and stuff and try to help him promote them so that he can get his book out there to the people.
That's an awesome idea. But anyway, getting back to the free energy systems that are available, you know, we go back to the ancient technologies. I've been watching a couple of documentaries the last couple of days. Me and Barb, we go down these different rabbit holes, and they're not all conspiracy rabbit holes. And this one here was on, the technology that was found back in the Sumerian days, back in the days of the pyramids and things like this. And the same technology was used by the man who built the coral castles. This is ancient technology. This is not anything that's been new vamped. Using the same principles and the same exact tools that were used at that time, and they within the last century were able to create the same structures. How many tons did the one pivot stone that he created on Coral Castle, I mean, it weighed an enormous amount, and he was able, with these cones in his hands, to place these large, structured stones in perfect, alignment and, balance by sound. So we know the technology is there. That technology has never gone away. It still holds the same principles. It still acts on the same principles. And all of these things work in a way that does not affect nature, does not affect the human body, does not affect living organisms in a harmful way. None of this does. It can be used and revamped to cause harm, which the powers that be have done so well. Every technology that they have created has been a thorn in the side of all living things. It has caused harm to bring a little bit of good. So we have this technology, and we know that it exists. But we have so many people that have been schooled, you know, on theories. Theories of everything. Theories of how we got here. Theories of how how our earth moves, how we move. And none of it is based on anything that is fact. That's why they call them theories. We started out with the basic theory of evolution and the basic theory of the Big Bang. And there's still theories. And everything that has followed from that is theory. Even physics fails. It is not 100%. So we know that there's something else in the mix here. If we can develop these technologies that fit outside of that theoretical science and still do the job, are capable of creating energy, are capable of creating health, are capable of creating all of the technologies, then we have to know that there is a concerted effort to prevent these technologies from being brought to the people. We see this. And so the people are the ones that need to be educated. How do you educate a people who have been fed, force-fed for centuries upon centuries these theories that govern their lives? How do you reach them and tell them everything that you've ever learned needs to be thrown away, and we need to go back further than that and bring forward those technologies, because those are the reality of everything that we want. They are the cure for what ails us in every avenue of our lives. How do you reach those people, Shaziz? How do you reach those people to tell them that everything they think is wrong? That's where our problem is. That's why there are naysayers, because they cannot conceive that there is another way. This is everything they've ever known. And science tells them that this is the way it's done. History tells them that this is the way it was done. You know?
Before you get off topic, so this man in Florida created you're talking 1,000 ton coral castle in 1923,
yeah.
Right? This guy was born in Riga, Latvia in 1887, but he was asked, you know, how did he build this, how did he build this stuff? He said he discovered the secrets of the pyramids. Yeah?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, which
yeah.
is really all about, the average weight was 14 tons each of these stones, right? And he erected a tower and 22 ton obelisk.
By himself,
yeah, just using energy, just using the frequency. And I'm trying to find that there's no compound or mortar. I'm just trying to find that, because I saw the video on it, that he used these cone-shaped stones, and these
yes.
are the ones we were talking about, are found all over, you know, the pyramid area and other places. And this is ancient technology that we're talking about. You know, it's an animating force in the universe, he says, did not come from protons and electrons in the atom, but rather from tiny magnets of different and opposite polarity that imbue all matter. It's called magnetic current. He's actually written a book on this. You know?
Yeah, and there's another stone, the round stones with the holes in them. The principle
yeah, those,
behind this.
Those
yes.
are magnetrons. They're called
yes.
magnetrons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I never close my eyes to any possibility when it comes to science, because of things that I've seen in my lab that science said weren't possible. And so nobody has to convince me.
Well, you were talking about the waves, the energy waves and the microwave, and he
yep.
said that by directing perpetual electromagnetic energy, he could easily manipulate these large stones.
Yep.
So, you know, who knows about this? This is all, you know, you have to search for this stuff because this isn't on mainstream media. He said that he found out how the Egyptians and the ancient builders in Peru, the Yucatan, and Asia were only used with only primitive tools, raised and set in place blocks of stone weighing many tons. So, you know, this is where we are. This is the truth.
Well, if you think about it, somewhere on the planet, if a big giant rock falls in the ocean, clear across the other side of the ocean, it will send out a wave, and that wave will actually gain momentum. The farther it goes out, the larger the wave becomes, and at some point, it will actually cause the water to recede on the shoreline of any given place. And then all that pressure will be released out onto the shore. They call it a tsunami. Alright? And so nature always works the same exact way. You put a powerful punch of electricity into something and you use a frequency range and you stay constant with that, it'll push out wave after wave after wave. And they always say you can't get out more energy than you put in. Well, I disagree because, number one, in the voltage portion alone, we already know we can amplify voltage. That's the easy part. And now, with what I've learned here, I know I can also bring that current back up to run the inefficient junk that we use.
Well, Viktor Gribennikov, Stephen Given just put this in there. I've seen this video. He created a flying platform using beetle wings to create lift, as he discovered the secret to the heavy beetles being able to fly was due to microscopic cones beneath the wings that create a frequency that produces lift when air is blown over the surface of the wing. Now, I saw another experiment where they had just these wings that they had extracted from the beetles, and what he did, the person did, and this is on YouTube, I'll try to find the video, they took one of the wings and they put it on the table. They took a pair of tweezers and they picked up the other wing and they kind of slapped it down on top of the wing that was below it, and it hovered.
I think I've seen that video as well.
And, yeah.
And, you know, even science that doesn't have a very good explanation why it is that something like a bumblebee can even get off the ground, because the body, as opposed to the wingspan, it don't make no sense.
Because of the theoretical nature of science, as we know it, is really just bunk science.
Yep.
I mean, the way things are done today even is worse than when it was way back when. Because today, they're like, you're going to make this study say this. You're going to make this experiment say this, you know. This is the way this experiment's going to end up, and here's your money for it. And if you don't do it the way we said, then you're not going to get it. So they make up all of these different theories. And like I used to say all the time, math is changing constantly, because once their math doesn't pan out, they have to create a new math to make that math make sense. And this is the way.
Well, that's why mad science is real science. And that's why I'll continue to do what it is that I do.
Yeah, Ray has a question for you too. He says, "Is your wife listening in? Does she still keep that hoe in the shed?"
Yeah, it's still out in the shed. Yeah, never buy your wife cleaning supplies or garden supplies unless she asks you for them.
You know what I really hate about this show, Shaziz?
What?
Every time I come on here, at the end of the show, I've got a pile of homework to do.
Yep.
I've been looking at all these links that I got to go look at after the shows here, the ones Barb is posting and Raymond is posting, and you guys are going to keep me busy until noon.
Well,
listen, this is important.
But it's a good thing.
Everybody
it's
needs
a great
to,
thing, Barb.
Everybody
I'm
needs to, yeah, everybody needs to do this research, because the hidden truths are right here. You can see it. It's ancient. And we know that basically we've been lied to, that there is free energy, that there's, you know, aspects of free healing. I mean, it's just right across the board that we've been lied to and kept dependent upon the system, which is corrupt, and basically, you know, not really for the people, you know, really doing harm. And we need to take, I guess we need to take responsibility for our own selves, our lives, and our children's and so on. And for this earth, you know, everything we ever needed was here, was created for us, and it's all been usurped by, you know, by the system. And it's not hopeless, I guess is what we're saying. There's nothing that is hopeless here. There are these tools and this ancient wisdom that's now coming forward, and people are awakening up. And some of these links and information that we're talking about is there for everyone to do their own research instead of, you know, discounting or being a naysayer immediately because you've been told that, no, you need to be dependent, that the authorities have the answers. That's what we've grew up with. No, the authorities have the answers to everything, and we are, you know, we are supposed to be basically turning to them for any answers and believing in them.
Well, if you're paying attention to the U.S. government, you realize that authority is idiots put together in a group. You know, there's no intelligence there. There's just none. Sorry. Our government is a bunch of retards running around.
Retards.
I'm sorry.
No, it's true. Sorry.
Well,
I'm right there.
No, wait a second. Hold on. Apologize. No, but they are. They're retards. They're dumb like a fox. Okay, you know everything we're seeing is just
they
a charade.
Just follow
they're playing
orders.
Up front of us.
Well,
they're
dirty.
Just following orders.
They're
and they're playing
evil.
Their part. Of course they are.
Let's say it.
We
like
gotta remember.
Is.
We gotta remember that everything that's going on right now in our society has been thought out. Think tanks. The problem, reaction, solutions, all been thought out. They know exactly what they're doing, how they're taking us there, and it's all a charade. So when you get to that point, you realize that, and just go, hey, let's just watch the charade being played out because it's
well,
gonna get.
I'm gonna say to people, what have you got to lose? Yeah. You know, you all feel like you're losing anyway, and there is no hope. Yeah, you're powerless. So what have you got to lose? To do a little research and exploration. To find out, you know, something far better, and maybe the truth.
That's right.
Yeah, we have all the answers right here in this little room. We've got make Chiz president. We'll make Barbara and Patty ministers of health and education.
No, thank you.
Yes, I want to be a minister of agriculture and building trades and construction industry. Boy, I'll tell you, we could solve about 90% of the problems right here in this little group.
Well, I tell you what, if we had...
Let's get going.
If we had access to our own planet, you know, that we all took care of, I think it'd be a wonderful place to live, but I think that we can still fix the one we're on. And so with that said...
I hope we can, Chizzes. I think we can if we get the changes in right away, but if we go too much longer, then I'm going to have to be a little bit negative about it because I go by what I see going on.
That's understandable.
And I study it closely.
That's the path we're on, and that's
well,
why...
Before you say goodbye, I just popped this amazing site, Shape of Thought, a new view of visual language. Very important information. Keep you... busy there, Barry. Just wanted to say.
Thank you. I'll just put that on my list. Number 8 now.
Okay.
And Barry, don't feel bad because two negatives can create a lot of power. Just saying.
Well, and that's true.
Well, you know what we got to do? We got this incredible group of minds here, and we, you know, to me, I'm finding myself. I, of course, I'm still going down the rabbit holes and looking what's going on here and looking what's going on there, but I'm really focusing a lot of my attention now on cannabis. And I think we put this group together and we have individuals focusing on what they really are good at, like she's in charge of power, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we make big changes. But I find, you know what, I find there's so much going on right now that if I start trying to focus on all the other issues, I don't get anything done. It's just too much to look at.
Yeah,
I've never seen such an oligarchy of events happening on the planet. Unbelievable.
That's why they say you put more people on the job gets done faster. See, that's what we're trying. We're trying to bring the brilliant minds to the table, folks. That's what mad science is all about.
And you have to visualize the final goal. visualizing, is seeing it, is a language. Basically, it's a powerful language. It's a powerful intention, like we talk about intention. And it's about manifesting. Manifesting peace, manifesting health, manifesting free energy, manifesting all of this. It's not just about experiments or reading information. It's about actually doing the work, you know, yep. Taking that gift that we've had, that we were all given for the power of manifestation. You know, it's really bigger than just doing research and saying, aho, oh, there, aha, that's, oh, there it is, there's that information. What do we do with it then, you know?
Well, if my vision ever comes to pass, I believe this world will be pleasantly pleased with the outcome. And it's a thing that, you know, I'm just one piece of the puzzle. Everyone else here is a piece of the puzzle. So is everybody out there listening. And if you're tired of the way that this world is going and you want to make it right with nature and each other, we have the opportunity, we have the solutions, and we're standing at the crossroad right now, and we're waiting for the world to decide. It's as simple as that. And
yep.
The way that you can help us out is to spread these words to people that need to hear them. Social media networks out there, maybe they're spying on you right now, but maybe one of them people that's spying on you will see it, and they'll look into it as well and say, hey, you know, that's not a bad idea, let's do that too, you know? Whatever it takes, folks. And the only thing that's ever going to get any of this done, and the world in the shape that it should be in as opposed to the way that it is, if there's somebody on this planet that can't get a fresh drink of water, that's a shame. If there's somebody on this planet that's paying an astronomical water bill every month, it's a shame, because nature provided water to us for free. That's our life-giving source. The wind, the sun, the earth itself, everything that we need has been provided for us. I'm going to ask the question again, and I know that I always catch a guff for saying it, but where are all the environmentalists of this world? Where are you? Are you out protesting, picketing somewhere? Where are you? Where were you when Stan Myers died? Where were you when John Bedini and his brother died? Where were you when Joseph Newman died? Where were you when Tesla needed your help and support? Where were you every time one of these brilliant minds went to their grave and all their information got scattered out there into the so-called conspiracy tin hat realm? If you want to save the trees, stop picketing with a wooden stick and a paper sign. Start backing your researchers out there. Start doing some research. If you want to save the planet, if you want to clean this planet up, I'm telling you, we have every single answer to every single problem on this planet if we choose to use it. So, put a shout out to all the environmentalists. Just come here and hear me out for a little bit. That's it. That's all I'm asking. Just hear what I have to say. Take a bit of your time. Save yourself some energy going out protesting the government, because they're not going to help you out. They don't care. That's all there is to it. But send a message out to them. Send a message out to any research group out there willing to take a step further. There's the guy that's, they say, billions in change. Get him come here and have a listen in on what we're talking about. There's people all over the place trying to do good things. Somehow or another, we got to bring them together to the table and show them, you know, this might be the missing piece that you need, and you might have the missing piece that I need, and we can get these technologies out there to the people who need them. The man in Sedalia.
Yeah, instead of protesting the lies, support the truth.
That's right. There's a man in Sedalia who was brilliant enough to put his castle on top of a hill that had a cave underneath it, and he has free energy proof right there because he has air conditioning in this castle all year round. And all he has to do during the winter time to keep the cold air out is close a little door. Who would have thought of that? Some brilliant individual did. And he ain't paying an electric bill for that air conditioning. And so, with that said, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough, because we've explained it ad nauseum here sometimes. And we got a little rowdy about it once or twice, too. So, we got to go, folks. You got anything last you want to tell anybody? Anybody?
Yeah, grow hemp.
Yeah.
In your backyard.
Lots
throw
of
seeds out. Everywhere.
Throw it in the
cover the planet
yard.
With seeds.
Well, I just want to say there's something greater, so much greater going on. And it's just waiting for our attention to lock into it. That's all I have to say.
Well,
so reach for the stars.
I'm on it. What about you, Patty?
Well, I just want to say to the people who will hear this podcast, the people who are listening to this podcast, you have a greater power than all the made-up powers in this world. There is no control. There is no keeper of the box that can contain you, your thoughts, and your actions. You have the ability to change the world. We need a different mindset. We need to come together. Stop looking for answers, because we are the answers. Start supporting each other. You don't have to have a sign to say things are wrong. People know things are wrong, and the government doesn't care that you know. So we can't go to them and expect change. Trying to go to the mountain and telling it to move, throwing pebbles at the mountain, it doesn't do anything except for frustrate you, because you're still there throwing pebbles and it's still there standing. So what we have to do is look at things in a different way and say, if we want and truly want to change the world, then we have to do it ourselves and make that commitment. Make that commitment. Everything that you do and say has an impact. Everything you do and say changes things. Make sure that what you do and what you say is done in a positive manner toward what you truly want, what we all want, a more sustainable life, a more renewable system, more health, and more abundance. And all of these things are possible. None of it is out of reach. Right now, today, we could change the face of this earth simply by coming together and putting these technologies into the hands of everyday people.
Yep. And so with that said,
well
that
said.
Was brilliant. I'll say one last thing before we roll up out of here, folks. If you're still in the box and you got a Charlie horse in your leg and it's cramping your style and causing you a lot of pain, step outside the box with me and stretch your legs. Just give it a shot. You might like it. So, with that said, peace and love to everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science. If you like this podcast, please share it with everybody. Chop it up, broadcast it, rebroadcast it. Take what you want and leave what you don't want and give it to somebody else or whatever. Just spread the message, because we have all the answers to every problem that exists under this sun. If we choose to fix it, it's fixed. If we don't, well, status quo. Say hi to the man.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Can you hear me? Give my creation love!
name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.